Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have Week 9. Sunday, Bloody Sunday. All of the dogs won. The dogs were barking. A lot of things to discuss. A lot of teams we thought were good might not be good. A lot of teams that were bad might not be as bad as we thought. We're going to recap everything. We got fastest 2 minutes. We have a very contentious, that is Billy's words, not mine, football guy of the week. And then we'll finish, as always, with who's back of the week.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, let's go.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take. Today is Monday, November 8th, Week 9.
What?
We start in Baltimore, where Justin Thomas Jefferson said, four, watch me score 7 points, and Kenny... How do you say his name?
Kenny Wongu over the cuckoo's nest.
And Kenny Wongu flew over the cuckoo's nest, had Ravens fans wanting to check themselves into a mental institute. Adnan Kirk Cousins won't be appearing on SportsCenter anytime soon, as Patrick Daniel Ricardo wore his party shirt in the end zone after the Ravens raced back into the game. Let us be the last to wish you a happy Halloween, as Lamar, you afraid of the dark, had the Vikings defense tackling ghosts all day as Justin Tucker went kicker-treating to win the game in overtime. Ravens 34, Vikings 31.
What? In the Battle of Ohio, where Joe Burrow was ice cold, the Browns wide receiver's eyes were getting big as Donovan dilated Peoples-Jones hauled in a score. The Bengals defense said, no, I don't want no Chubbs. Chubb is a back that's going to run for two TDs, as TLC Higgins and the Bengals had no answer all afternoon. In other Browns news, Beckham was released, and in something that hasn't been good in years, one lucky team is saying, dude, we're getting Adele. Browns 41, the Bengals, the Cincinnati Bengals 16.
In Jacksonville, where Josh Allen sacked Josh Allen to set the tone for Josh Allen picking off Josh Allen, leading to Josh Allen forcing a fumble of Josh Allen, giving Josh Allen an incredible victory over Josh Allen, even though Josh Allen was a 2-touchdown underdog to Josh Allen. Jaguars 9, Bills 6.
Huh?
There's two of them?
Josh Allen's?
I'm seeing double, and it's not the duh-duh-duhs.
In the Big D, where Dak is back, but Cowboys fans are suddenly missing Cooper Rush Limbaugh. In the Battle of Sterling Bridgewater, Javonte Williams-Wallace stood 9 feet tall and demanded Jerry Jones put his head between his legs and kiss his own arse. Tim Patrick Starr proved he doesn't live under a rock.
I thought the Cowboys were supposed to be good, SpongeBob.
But it was Michael Vic Fangio who had his dogs ready for a fight, pinning their ears back for a huge win. The Broncos 30, the Cowboys 16.
In Miami, where QAnon was a no-show like JFK Jr., as the Dolphins turned to Jacoby Bryant-Brissett to give the Finns that Mamba mentality. On the other side of the ball, Tyrodney Dangerfield gets no respect. Mac Hollenoates was a man-eater against press coverage. Watch out, boy, he'll chew you up. And the Dolphins finally make Frank Fleming's dream come true with a win while he's in attendance. Dolphins 17, Texans 9.
In the Meadowlands, where Evan Laura Ingram just shut up and caught the ball. Tax the Rich Bisoccia went to a MetLife gala and the public Joe judged him a loser, as people forget Jason Garrett is AOC in this league, Teej. Devontae Corey Booker was Senate to win it in New Jersey as the big blue wave get a win. And that's your politics update from us, the G-Man 23, the Raiders 16.
Down to Philadelphia, where just in the wind, all we are is just in the wind. Herbert and the Chargers went up against a hungry Eagles team. Nick Sirianni was relying heavily on Jordan Howard Stern to boost his ratings, but it was Devontae Max Smith no matter what when Philly needed a late score. But the Eagles tied it only for a moment, and the moment's gone. As dust in the wind, all we are is dust in the wind. Hopkins nailed the game winner with 2 seconds left. The San Diego Superchargers 27, the Philadelphia Eagles 24.
Standing on a corner, Jameis Winston down in NOLA, such a fine sight to see. It's an Arthur Smith, my lord, and his beard's got shorn, winning with a quarterback named Matty. We miss you, Jameis. Simeon is heinous, and the Saints stink like a butthole. They're an anus.
The Saints lose to the Falcons 27-25.
We finish in Kansas City, where Jordan Live, Laugh, Love played like his family wasn't watching as they were stuck in the very last row of Arrowhead. Andy Patrick Reed took Matt LaFleur's lunch money out of his locker on the way to his 500th win. Speaking of 500, we want to congratulate the five young gentlemen from Pardon My Take on their 500th episode today. The Bajorquez store called, and they're running out of holders as Corey failed to get the laces out not once, but twice on Sunday. Aaron Rodgers and his best friend Joe Rogaine, Blake Bortles, had to watch as Jordan Love tried to figure this one out for the Packers. The Chiefs, 13. The Packers, 7.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car-selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, upset Sunday. We're going to start with Sunday Night Football. The most disrespected team in the NFL, the Tennessee Titans, just went into SoFi Stadium, into the Rams' house, and kicked the shit out of the Rams.
So Matt Stafford looked like just hot garbage in the first half. Real bad.
So Matt Stafford looked bad, but I'm giving all the credit to the Titans. I am, because their defensive line were all over Stafford. Like, I saw some people saying that the Rams stink, but I think that was more the Titans are for real. And we got to start taking them as such, because no Derrick Henry, their defense steps up. They can still play offense when they need to. I'm putting the Titans as for real.
Adrian Peterson, 10 carries, 21 yards. They kept feeding him, and they got him a touchdown too, which
is
nice.
And they ran Wildcat with him.
They ran Wildcat with Adrian Peterson. He looks fast in the number 8. That's a good jersey number for him at this point.
He skipped Dancing with the Stars to be with this team.
He did, and the Titans offense is just – turns out they're just good. They're just a fundamentally sound football team. I like A.J. Brown a lot. Julio Jones is still out there playing football, although something happened with Julio Jones. Something like in the last 2 years,
he got old.
He got old fast.
Yeah.
But the Titans offense is definitely they play bully ball.
Well, no, and their defensive line was all over Matt Stafford. Like, they couldn't, when you watch a game like that and you just saw right away, you're like, they can't block. I think there was the first drive when the Rams started the game, maybe 2 first downs, and then boom, sack. And you're like, uh-oh, they're kind of fucked here.
Jeffrey Simmons with 3 sacks, I think all in the first maybe quarter of the game.
Yeah.
Definitely all in the first half.
I at this point, if you had to do power rankings of the AFC teams, where are the Titans? They have to be either from, and we're going to get to all the games, so obviously the Bills losing, but the Titans also beat the Bills. They have to either be one or two.
With Baltimore?
Yeah, I think so. Wouldn't you say? As of right now, like we're just saying right this second, who is the power rankings of teams that you think are coming out of the AFC? I think it's probably maybe still Baltimore and then Titans too. But I can absolutely be convinced, especially with the wins, because look at the Titans have beaten the Bills, the Chiefs, the Colts, and the Rams, four straight games. Those are four teams that all should, or at least all have, playoff aspirations. I would say three out of four of those teams will definitely be in the playoffs.
Because Baltimore, the Jets, yeah. Titans,
yes,
and then Bills, Chargers,
but
Chiefs.
This is the problem with week one. I actually don't think I want to watch week one next year. Because the Titans losing the way they lost.
I won't be.
Yeah, you won't be. Yeah, you actually won't be. And I might join you. Because the Titans losing to the Cardinals the way they lost to the Cardinals in week one had me thinking up until this point that, yeah, the Titans are good, but they're still kind of suck. Like, they still can be had. No. Mm-hmm. This team's very good.
What did we learn about the Rams tonight? Anything?
They can't really block. And when they can't block, Matt Stafford goes back to Lions Matt Stafford.
I think another thing I learned tonight is that naked bootlegs always work.
Yep.
I don't think I've ever seen a naked bootleg get stopped.
Yep. Even Peyton Manning's ran a naked bootleg before.
Mm-hmm. You just have to not run it that often. If you like circle two dates per year, you're like, these are my naked bootleg dates, they're both going to work.
Well, Tannehill actually, I feel like he does it like four or five times a year.
Because he's fast.
Yeah, right. But I guess the other thing I learned from the Rams is Jalen Ramsey like loves getting personal foul penalties.
Oh yeah, they had to specify. No, the first personal foul that he had wasn't for taunting. It was for just like a different type of personal.
Unnecessary roughness.
I think it was for like
clearly taunting.
Taunting with your body instead of with your mouth, the first part. And then the second one was just the mouth version of it.
I also think maybe the Rams are just one of those teams that like if you look at their the games they played this year, they've just had two stinkers. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's, I don't know if that's a bigger deal, but they just had two games where almost right away you're like, oh, they are going to lose today.
Mm-hmm. Can I tell you something, though, about this Sunday? It was one of the most fun Sundays that I've had watching football in a long time, and it's because I didn't have to watch the Washington football team
play.
It's so awesome not having to worry
about the Washington football
about
team.
Your shitty team.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It felt like a weight was lifted off my shoulders.
Oh, yeah. And all the dogs.
No safeties. Hit. Mm-hmm.
Dogs everywhere. It was crazy.
It was a great day.
Crazy
great day
Sunday
for the squad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the rest of Sunday Bloody Sunday. Let's start with crazy underdogs winning outright, and we will start with the team that I think there's two teams that everyone thought were Super Bowl contenders that had inexplicable losses on Sunday, and we'll start with the Cowboys. The Cowboys and the Broncos. Broncos 30, Cowboys 16, and it really wasn't that score because the Cowboys, if you watch the game, they had five first downs and 122 yards before garbage time started with like 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So it was 30 to nothing, and then the Cowboys threw in a couple touchdowns at the end to make it look halfway respectable. The Broncos kicked the shit out of the Cowboys. And my question to you, PFT, and everyone out there, is just how much did the Broncos team hate Von Miller and his Halloween party? Because they played like a completely different team.
No, they were sick of all the Venmo requests
it's
coming
crazy.
Through. It's almost like having a loan shark on your defense that's just collecting interest. He's charging points against his own teammates every week. Maybe had a bad effect on the locker room. I don't know. The Broncos defense was awesome today, though. Dak Prescott looked... This is the weirdest game that I think I've ever seen Dak Prescott play.
It was so weird.
Very weird.
They got five first downs until there was 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They just weren't able... Like, it was essentially every single sequence was the Broncos ran the ball down the Cowboys' throat. Javonte Williams, who is awesome, shout out UNC football, big weekend for them, ran the ball down their throat, and Teddy Bridgewater would make a couple big throws to Tim Patrick or someone else, and then the Cowboys would get the ball back, and they would be in third and long, and they wouldn't be able to get a first down, and then they would punt, or they would go for it on fourth and not get it, and it was just like rinse, repeat. Mm-hmm. The only break that like felt like the game was going to shift was the weirdest play to start the second half when the Cowboys blocked a punt, but because it went a couple yards past the line of scrimmage and they touched it first and the Broncos then recovered it, the Broncos got the ball, which that was like a spirit of the game rule that they should have been like, bullshit,
the Cowboys get the ball.
The ref should have just known, like, hey, this isn't football.
Right.
This isn't football. What if there's a coach that could exploit that rule?
I don't know how you could. I was thinking about that.
Intentionally punt into the rush that's coming at you, have it deflect past the line of scrimmage.
And someone touch it.
Essentially a forward pass.
They have to touch it, though. That's the part that...
It has to be touched past the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
So it can be blocked, but then it has to be hit again after it goes past the line of scrimmage.
And then and then clearly recovered.
Yeah.
Tough to exploit, but the Broncos, like...
David Culley will figure it out. Yeah. He's the punting evil genius of the NFL.
The Broncos were going to win this game no matter what. I'm not going to say that punt like changed the game. It definitely changed whether it was going to be a game. I think the Cowboys would have made it a game.
It blocked a momentum swing.
Yes.
But it stopped a momentum from happening.
But the Broncos were just awesome. And I looked into it more because I really do, like this Von Miller Halloween party, I would watch maybe one of those, maybe not a 30 for 30, but a mini documentary on it, like a 5-minute just explainer. I didn't realize it was actually Von Miller who wanted to cancel the party and because they were losing. So that was good teammate. But then he also wanted to charge everyone.
Yeah, so it's like for the deposit. You don't get the deposit
back.
Yeah,
it's like for like the giraffes and everything. So it's like the guy who cancels the bachelor party and then is like, no, I'm not paying for anything last second. Like, dude, you gotta still chip it. So, but Von Miller was canceling it and then also expecting everyone to pay. And he also has made like $90 million. So
isn't Von Miller also a big animal guy? Like he owns a lot of
chickens.
It's probably his giraffes that he owns that he was renting out to himself. He's just using it as an operation to make money.
Billy feels like he has something to say because for people who don't know what Billy's like strength now is, and I mean this as a strength, Billy goes to the corners of the internet for us. Like he's going to have a first hand, like, well, I talked to the guy who had the petting zoo.
Yeah.
And it was non-refundable.
Actually, I think what Billy is, he's not a reply guy. He's a reply guy.
Yeah.
So he reads all the reply guys and that's where he gets the honest to God boots on the ground, direct uncut news from.
Right.
He's 99% of which is completely bogus.
I've seen it on the internet and it's just a reply guy with like 4 followers, but he did see it. So Billy, give us the reply guy report.
The rumor has it that but this is actually, I think, true.
No, this is. And listen,
no, this is how they start.
I don't care.
This one, I think, is true.
Yeah, Billy, your job is to give us the unfiltered things the internet's talking about. It's our job to decide whether it's complete bullshit or not.
So Von Miller wanted to cancel the party, but the other players wanted him to have the party still. So he said, okay, like, I don't think you guys deserve the party, but if you want to still have the party, then you guys should pay for it.
Ah, okay. See, that's good. So, Billy, you're basically like, you're tap water, we're the Brita filter, and then we put in the Brita filter, then the audience listens to that.
I believe that, though. I think we've uncovered the truth, and that's that Von Miller is basically, if Dick Cheney has Halliburton and he's selling all the Halliburton stuff to the Defense Department, Von Miller is doing that to his own teammates with his giraffe farm.
Right.
Yeah, got it.
Either way,
Hank gets it.
Either way, this game, you cannot convince. Just like Mike McCarthy smashing a watermelon, last year when they beat the Vikings. Just like we're going to get to Odell Beckham, you can't tell me that Von Miller getting traded and the Halloween request for all this money didn't play a part in the Broncos coming out and playing their best game of the year against a Cowboys team that was undefeated against the spread. 7-1, seemingly rolling with Cooper Rush on Sunday Night Football last week, and they lay a complete egg against a Broncos team I may never get in front of again now that they've figured out this whole Halloween issue.
Yeah, one other thing about this game, Teddy Bridgewater is actually good when you let him throw the ball deep.
And your
running game is awesome. Javonte Williams, I think that we put him in our respect folder about a month ago. We said be on the alert to potentially have to respect this guy later on in the season.
111 yards for him.
Teddy Bridgewater is good when you let him throw the ball. I think his problem is Teddy is very, very accurate on short passes, and so then they just have him throw those all the time. They have him do the dink and dunk stuff.
Yes.
But just let him throw the ball deep, and the offense actually looks competent.
Does Cooper Rush win this game?
I think so.
I thought that for a minute.
I don't know. I don't have anything direct to say about Dak's play besides the fact it was just a weird game for him.
Yeah, and no,
I
it was
still
bad.
Think maybe his calf still hurts.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He said afterwards that it wasn't the calf, which credit to him for not using an injury, which I absolutely would always use an excuse when given one.
Yep.
And maybe a little bit in part because Jerry Jones went on radio like on Monday and was like, Dak's playing no matter what. Because Jerry's not going to have a home game where his big quarterback isn't playing.
No, Jerry needs to sell some tickets.
Yes.
Cooper Rush doesn't put asses in seats.
Yes, but this was an ass kicking. And you could also maybe throw in the fact that the Cowboys messed with an iconic helmet and did the red, white, and blue stripes down the middle, which, listen, it's not a comment about America. It's more a comment about, like, you don't mess with your helmet.
Yeah, I actually thought that the helmet looked awesome. It looked cool.
Until you start getting killed.
But you can't get your ass kicked.
Yeah, 30 to nothing, and those helmets aren't as cool.
It looked like the wings of an airplane in Top Gun. That's with the star and the red, white, and blue. So I like that, being a big Top Gun fan myself. But, yeah, they just stunk. They flat out stunk.
But credit to the Broncos, because the Broncos, there are upsets that is fluky and weird. And, you know, like, oh, I didn't see this coming. We had this game on. The Broncos just, like, they manned up on the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. They physically dominated them the entire game. It looked like the Cowboys never had anyone open. It looked like the Broncos always had, like, huge holes to run through. So, I don't know.
The good news for Dallas is they're 6-2, and the Eagles
seven
are...
7-2.
Dallas?
7-2,
Dallas,
right?
Is 6-2.
Oh, I thought they were 7-2. Oh, they were 7-0 against the spread.
They're 6-2, and the Eagles are in second place in that division at 3-6. So really, the Cowboys,
they're good.
They could just not show up for a couple weeks and still be fine.
They are good. But yeah, they lose their perfect against the spread record.
I do like what Dak said about this game. There's no better term than this. Dak said the Cowboys just got whooped.
Yeah,
but it was like
they
it was whooped. They got, that's almost a whooping.
Yeah, no, they got a whooping.
They got whooped.
A good old-fashioned whooping.
Mm-hmm.
That was, from start to finish. It wasn't ever in doubt. It was a whooping.
I think a whooping is more disrespectful in certain ways than a clowning. A whooping is getting clowned, but physically clowned.
Well, here's the thing. If you get clowned, you can kind of figure out a way, like, all right, let's go out next game, not get clowned.
Mm-hmm.
When you get whooped, you have to start questioning yourself.
You have to
dig deep.
You have to start from, like, scratch again,
right,
if you get whooped, because they beat you. That, they clowned you with fundamentals.
Right.
That's what a whooping is.
And they just played man football on you and whooped you up. So, Billy, do you think whooping is worse than a clowning?
A whooping's like...
No,
a whooping.
A whooping. It's whooppin, apostrophe.
Now, whooping. Would you say there's a little more punishment involved than a whooping?
Yeah. No, it's a more physical clowning.
Yes.
It's like a John Wayne Gacy clowning.
Yeah, less
whooping,
fun.
Yeah. A whooping, you have no the offense. Team come in and hit the weight room and do some suicides and do all that.
Mm.
Whooping. Clown, you're just like, all right, well,
clown,
we kind of stink.
You can like show somebody up with a clown show, put some smoke and mirrors out there, a lot of razzle dazzle. A whooping is just like, hey, we played football better than you played football today.
Yes.
In a clowning fashion.
Yes. All right. Next whooping, which wasn't as much of a whooping as it was a head scratcher. How the hell did this happen? I'm going to watch this game, and every single second I watch, I'm like, when are the Bills going to show up? Jaguars 9, Bills 6. I still can't really believe this final score. Josh Allen played great, the other didn't. Josh Allen on the Jaguars played incredible. He was all over the field. Probably his best game as a pro.
Mm-hmm.
And then our Josh Allen, that was probably his worst game in like 2 or 3 years. Because it was, I don't really understand what the Bills' plan was. It felt like, similar to the Cowboys-Broncos game, it felt like this game was just watching the same play over and over. And that was Josh Allen running around in the backfield, either getting sacked or throwing it at someone's feet like 20 yards down the field because it was a 3rd and 22.
Yeah, the more I look at the stats from this game and just remember watching it when it was on, and it wasn't really a game that anybody paid attention to until like halfway through the third quarter, where it was like, is this actually going to happen?
Because they did the exact same thing last week with the Dolphins.
With the Dolphins, we expected Josh Allen to go out there and throw a 70-yard touchdown at some point.
They'll show up and they'll start kicking their ass.
It's just the Jacksonville defense played well. The Jacksonville defense got a good pass rush, made him uncomfortable. And Josh Allen, power rankings, Josh Allen 1, Josh Allen number 2.
Yes. Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Josh Allen. We had the most name-agamis possible in this game.
Yep.
All the different plays happened. I know Jake was really having a good time watching.
Josh Allen's all over the place.
The first time Josh Allen sacked Josh Allen, the first time Josh Allen
first time any quarterback got sacked by
tackle
a player
sack. pick
of the
fumble.
Same name.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yes.
Which I thought about it. There's definitely going to be a Tom Brady who's like, who was born in like 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And the other Tom Brady's going to play till he's 70. And he's just going to be playing like a field of Tom Brady's.
Yeah. I'm thinking about like the younger group of quarterbacks that have just gotten into the league. And if you're power ranking or like putting the odds out, seeing which new quarterback is most likely to get sacked by somebody with his name, I feel like Mac Jones has a pretty strong opportunity. There should
McCorkle,
be.
McCorkle, though?
You know, we got to go Mac on that. No McCorkles, but I feel like there might be a Mac Jones that gets into the NFL.
Yes.
But besides that, we'll probably we won't see a Name Agami weekend like we had today. It also had the most electric ending of all time, the walk-off punt.
Yes.
I love a good walk-off punt. I know some people were saying that the Jacksonville punter should just start sprinting backwards.
Take a safety from the 40.
Just run into the end zone, take your safety.
No one would have said that.
Walk away with a 9-7 victory. But the walk-off, with the clock hitting zero while a punt is still in play, is, I feel like it's very rare.
It's very, very rare. It was also, the Bills made it to the red zone once all day on their first possession. It was, I guess the big question coming out of this game, first of all, fuck you, Jaguars, because you should be able to trust that some teams give up, and I don't like the fact that they haven't given up,
mm-hmm.
and that now I have to like have my eye out for, hey, are the Jaguars starting to believe in this thing? Like, are they turning the corner somehow here? Are they going to start thinking that Urban Meyer's a good coach? Because I was ready to stick a fork in them, be like, the Jaguars are going to just suck for the rest of the season. Urban Meyer's going to leave, fake heart attack, whatever it may be. Now, I have to look at them with a whole new set of eyes.
The problem with the Jaguars is they gave up too early in the season. So they went through that life. Usually you don't see a team completely give up on their coach until at least like week 11, week 12. I think they gave up on Urban Meyer in week 2 this year.
And then, we got a whole season
left. So then you go through a few weeks of you gave up on your coach, and then it can very quickly turn into us against the world mentality.
This is
where it's like, we gave up on our guys so early and we're such trash that now we have time to feel disrespected,
yes,
and then respond to that and actually start playing some tough defense. And also, credit where credit's due to Urban Meyer. He is now a 500 football coach after finger blasting that chick in a bar.
Whoa. That's huge.
Got his groove
two
back.
And two?
Two and two.
Two
well,
and two.
This is also the Jaguars' first win
in America.
In the United States in 420 days.
Unbelievable.
So congratulations. Jaguars, take a bow.
You are right that the give up too early can lead to another like, oh shit. It's like when I eat lunch at like 10 a.m. and then mm-hmm. I have to eat another lunch at
That's
2.
That's breakfast. You're talking about breakfast.
Yeah, no, there's lunch because I also ate breakfast. And you eat at 10 and then you're like, 2 comes around. You're like, well, I should probably eat again
because
it's, you know, more regular lunchtime. They're at the 2 o'clock lunch
mm-hmm.
where they gave up, and now they're come back and they will give up again.
Oh yeah,
but we got to time that.
We're in a window right now with the Jaguars. Yes. The Jaguars are a dangerous team right now. This game also proved, I think, without a doubt, the Manning curse. So the Manning curse.
Wait, Billy wanted to talk about that. Who's
back? I think we're going to talk about it during the game though.
Okay,
I think that's what we decided.
Okay,
is that okay, Billy?
Do you want to save it?
I got some stats on it.
Okay, go ahead. Unload.
Travis Kelce came on week 1.
Kels
lost in week 2. Russell Wilson came on in week 1 as well. Also lost in week 2. Gronk came on week 2. Lost in week 3. Stafford got on week 3. Lost in week 4. Brady week 7 was the second time the Buccaneers were victims of the Manning curse. And now Josh Allen week 8 is also a victim
what
of the Manning curse.
When did Drew Brees come on?
I think he was on.
Find it out.
His sons? When?
Yeah.
No, it was more recent than that.
No, it was way more recent than that.
Yeah.
Give me a date for when Drew Brees came on.
I think it was after the break, so maybe Brady week 7, because they took that 2-week break.
So it was week 7. What's the time? What's week 7 date? 24th.
Mm-hmm.
He came on the 24th. The 25th. Okay, never mind. I was trying to figure out if it was maybe after, because Purdue just wins like the biggest games in the world and then loses. So I was seeing if maybe it was they then had a Purdue loss right after.
Huh.
So who's going to be
on? Everywhere, follows you everywhere.
So it's going to be the Steelers and the Bears Monday Night Football.
They're not
doing the Manning cast.
No. It's back week 10.
Yeah, week 10.
Also, PFT was sort of on. So
Josh Allen called me his best friend.
I know, but I'm just wondering, are you carrying a little of the curse?
Did I curse? Yeah.
You got a curse?
Actually, yeah, my tweets today were pretty god-awful, so maybe it's affecting me.
Damn.
I mean, no worse than usual,
everyone.
But...
It's affecting everyone.
Yeah.
It's coming for everyone.
Bad vibes.
So my big question coming out of this game, Jaguars aside, we'll figure out when they give up again. Are the Bills, like, are you, this is one of those games where you're like, are you kind of not panicking, but the first half against the Dolphins was weird.
Yep.
You win that game, but then you go to Jacksonville, and shout out to Bills fans that went to Jacksonville. The pool was packed with Bills Mafia beforehand. It was awesome to see. But I like, that's got to be a weird sinking feeling, because this is your AFC to win this year. Mm-hmm. Like, the Chiefs are down. You know, obviously the Ravens, the Titans, there's some teams, the Patriots look like they're coming back. But, like, this was supposed to be the Bills' year to win the AFC, and now you just lose to the Jaguars, one of the worst teams in the NFL. I don't know. That one's a strange one.
Then they have the Jets next week.
So get right.
Their bye week.
They better get right, yes. Yep. Thank you, Greeny. They mm-hmm. will get – if they struggle at all with the Jets, I might have to throw up – I might have to throw up the panic button.
You would rather have this happen right now if you're the Bills.
Like, yeah.
Why not have your really shitty loss occur, you know, November 7th, non-divisional game against a team that you're definitely not going
to
see again?
Here's what it comes down to me. Like, watching the Bills play, and Bills fans, you can chime in, tweet me, tell me, whatever, if I'm way wrong. But there's times when it feels like the Bills are trying to play video game offense, where they don't really run the ball, like, ever. And they run around in the pocket, and then they find someone open.
Mm-hmm.
And video game offense, as we see with the Chiefs, it's fun, but sometimes you got to just be able to, like, this is a game where if the Bills should have just been able to run on the Jaguars and like, win the game somewhat easily mm-hmm. and not have to fuck around with this. Instead, it felt like they were in third and long all day. I think, did Zach Moss get hurt?
I don't know if that
was part of it.
I don't know if he got hurt, but I do know that they were missing two starting offensive linemen, which does explain a lot.
Yes, that does explain a lot. But I don't know. It just feels like their run game, I don't know where it was. I think Zach Moss must have gotten hurt because he had three carries. And did he get hurt? Yes, he got hurt. So maybe that's some explanation to it. But it always feels like whenever the Bills are at the bad Bills,
mm-hmm.
it's that same kind of feel of like, they're always going backwards, not forwards.
Yeah.
They're going backwards and then hoping for a long pass down the field.
To bail them out.
Right.
They're talented enough where they do get bailed out on right. offense a lot, too.
It doesn't feel like they're, like, going, you know what I mean? Like, 5-yard pass, 3-yard run, that kind of feel. It's
yeah.
like backwards, backwards. Oh, hope we get a 20-yard bomb to Stephon Diggs.
Another interesting thing happened in this game. I don't know the last time I've seen this, if I've ever seen it, but I think that the Jaguars missed 3 field goals in a row.
Yes, they did.
Back to back to back, because there were penalties that kept getting called back. There was one that was running into the kicker. There was another one. I forget what the second one was. But they missed three progressively shorter field goals in a row.
No, they went backwards once.
They went backwards on one of them.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they went forwards, backwards, forwards.
Okay.
Missed all three.
Yeah, missed all three of them. That wasn't great. Trevor Lawrence got injured for a little bit. C.J. Beathard was going to come into the game. C.J. Beathard is, I don't care where he was actually born, that man is 100% pure Jacksonville at heart.
Yeah,
just
well,
looking.
If, yeah.
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 Because,
yeah,
like, his picture.
Yes. I just always think of him as Iowa. But
yeah.
Yes.
He's definitely Iowan, but, I mean, he's also very. If you look at his picture, it just looks like a mugshot.
Yeah.
It's like every team photo that he's ever done looks like he's
a hostage.
Getting released
yes.
from prison.
Yes. Okay. So, Bills, panic button. I don't know. You can't panic, but that's a weird one. That's like a one where, I guess the better way to phrase it is if you are. I mean, the Cowboys kind of similar, although the Broncos are better than the Jaguars. But, like, I couldn't see the Bucs losing a game like this.
Yeah.
I couldn't see a healthy Packers team losing a game like this. I couldn't see a Rams team losing a game like this, even though they lost tonight. Like, to the true bottom three or four teams, it's if you are considered one of the top teams, you don't lose those games.
If I'm the Bills, I have taken the panic button out of storage.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the panic button. I'm
yes.
not about to press it yet, but for the first time in a long time, and the Bills really don't have that much experience with the panic button, because in recent history, it's been like, you know, that would be a luxury for them to be able to afford to panic, because that means
right.
that you felt confident in your team
correct.
Going into it.
Correct.
They haven't had that issue for a while. So they've taken the old panic button out of storage. It's across the table from them.
It's the first time in a long time that true expectations are in Buffalo.
Yep.
Because even last year was like the ascension of the team, and it was fun, mm-hmm. and it was different. But now, yeah, no, you're right. The true expectations. All right. Next up, Battle of Ohio. Browns 41, Bengals 16. The Browns kicked the shit out of the Bengals. I know that, like, we love to make hot takes on the show. People love hot takes in media. It is not a hot take to say that the Browns are just significantly better, and Baker Mayfield is significantly better without Odell Beckham. And there's like nothing.
I don't really know why.
It's all proof. Well, I know why, because he doesn't have to feel like he has to throw the ball to Odell Beckham, and if he misses Odell Beckham, Odell Beckham's dad's going to make a fucking mixtape with REM behind it.
That's probably a big reason.
That's got to be part of it.
It's got to be in the back of your head, knowing that like a guy on your team,
dad's gonna roast
his,
me.
His dad like fucking can't stand you. It's a weird position to be in. And people were saying, or there was one anonymous source on the Browns that was saying that he's a malcontent.
Let's just say Odell's
a malcontent. And I think that like Odell Beckham, I think it's absolutely fair to say he's a malcontent. He even said today that, or his agents were telling teams like, hey, Odell wants to go to a Super Bowl contender. And if he doesn't get picked up by a contender, he's going to make some issues for you. So he's like,
he's holding him hostage.
He's pre-malcontent.
Yes. If Billy's dad decided to make a mixtape every time we busted on Billy, I'd think twice about it.
Yeah.
I'd still do it, but I would think twice about it.
Yeah, why hasn't your dad done that
yeah,
yet?
Yeah, like just a burner account just being like, here are the times they were wrong and my son was right.
Oh, Sir Yacht has to chug Skyline Chili.
He does.
Raw.
He does.
He has to raw dog a can of Skyline.
Here are some numbers. Ready? So Odell Beckham, when he's not playing with Baker Mayfield, or so when Baker Mayfield is without Odell Beckham, he has 41 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. When he has Odell Beckham, 42 touchdowns, 29 interceptions. 15-11 without him, 13-15 with him. He had today, Baker Mayfield had his fifth game in his career where he had over 130 passer rating. Four out of five, Odell Beckham wasn't on the team. And the fifth, Odell Beckham dressed but didn't catch a ball. So it's essentially every time Baker Mayfield plays to his absolute ceiling, Odell Beckham is not part of it.
I mean, it makes sense.
Oh, and one more.
I think Baker actually, like, he enjoys the fact that if his team loses a talent like that, that it's kind of all on him at this point.
Well, here's the other thing. Baker Mayfield had eight guys caught a pass today for the Browns, and not one guy had more than five targets. Jarvis Landry had the most with five targets. So it's clear they're spreading the ball around. They're running the offense through Nick Chubb. Who's awesome. But it's not a hot take anymore. Odell Beckham was bad for the Browns.
Yeah.
Like, they found their mojo again, and it's actually kind of funny that they found their mojo in the exact same place last year that where Odell Beckham hurt his knee was in Cincinnati.
Yeah, here's a hot take. I think that the Bengals should go after Odell Beckham. Get all the LSU offense
and just
on one
up.
Team. Just do it up big. Yeah, get the Bayou Bengals going.
So the big question on this game, besides the Browns kind of finding their mojo again, did we kind of jump the gun on the Bengals? Because I think we might have.
Yeah, but it was fun.
It was so much fun.
When are we going to be able to say that the Bengals could win a Super Bowl ever again on this podcast?
No.
Probably never. We had to take that opportunity.
I'm not blaming myself or you.
Credit to us for seeing the one possible window that we might ever have on the show to anoint the Cincinnati Bengals.
Listen, the Bengals, we said it when they beat the Ravens. We said, Bengals fans, you deserve this. You deserve to take a day off of work and just sit there and consume all the media that you can. You deserve that. But we should say it. 2 weeks ago, they were first in the AFC North. We start today, they're last.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very fast, and it happened against the Jets and then against the Browns. And they still have to play the Ravens again. They still have to play the Steelers twice, I believe. And then once. Oh, yeah, that's right. They beat the Steelers the first time. And they have to go and play the Browns in Cleveland. I don't know. It's just their defense was a mess. Joe Burrow wasn't great.
Yeah, he needs to improve his tackling. Joe Burrow is maybe the worst tackling quarterback.
About never tackle.
Yeah, well,
that's the rule. Tom Brady has always had it right. I learned this when Jay Cutler broke his hand off an interception tackling a guy.
Yeah, Andy Dalton's done that a few times.
Don't tackle.
Break your wrist. Either don't tackle or spend time practicing tackling in practice.
Yeah, Tom Brady just runs off the field. He just gets out of the way. You got to do that every single time.
Well, no, he has the refs break up.
Yes, that's true.
Anyone that's trying to block him during a return.
But I think this is the Bengals, I feel bad for Bengals fans, but yeah, that wasn't great.
They're not out of it.
No.
Bengals are definitely not out of it.
The good news is you're in the AFC, and the AFC is going to be, there's going to be a 9-8, 10-7 team in the AFC. If you were in the NFC, you'd be fucked.
Mm-hmm.
But you're in the AFC, so you can still get back into it. But they're not in a great spot right now.
Yeah, and the Bengals have kind of a tough end of their season. I'm looking at the schedule right now. They have to go to Vegas, then Pittsburgh, Chargers,
And then finish with the Browns.
They got the Browns. Chiefs are in there, and I know the Chiefs kind of stink, but I still I'm going to die waiting for the Chiefs to turn back into the Chiefs at some point.
I regret nothing. I'm happy the Bengals had their moment, mm-hmm. but this was a bad, bad game for them, mm-hmm. and it was a like the Browns were just ripping off big plays, pick sixes, big runs,
and Myles Garrett was doing this thing where he's just bigger than everybody and yep. stronger than everybody. You just can't block him. He's an impossible man to block.
Nope. So yeah, maybe jump the gun on. Listen, the Bengals have to. So the Raiders, Steelers, and Chargers are their next three. Two of them at home. They have to go 2-1 in these. If they go 1-2, I think it's officially the Bengals are they made strides, but they're probably not a playoff team mm-hmm. because then we're looking at like the end of November and they're like a 6-6 team, which is going to be tough. The AFC's bad, like top to bottom, it's not as strong as the NFC, but I do think that it would put them in a tough spot where they have to win some tough games in December. Like they'd have to go 3-1, 4-0 in December.
Yeah, 9-8 probably isn't going to cut it.
I feel like 9-8 might get you a spot, but probably 10-7. Feels 10-7. Like
these numbers are so stupid.
Yeah, it really has ruined everything. I think too, like it was genius by Goodell because I'm not going to really get pissed off about it until we get to the end of the season.
Until a team is like 9-7. And then they have another game to play.
Right.
That's when it's going to fuck me up.
Or when you win 10 games and you still miss the playoffs by like two.
Mm-hmm.
That will, like in the NFC, that would piss me off. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you mean we won 10 games? All right, next up. This one, we're coming back to earth after those first three games that were ass kickings. I guess maybe not the Jaguars and Bills, but when you, factor in the spread.
It was an ass kick.
Ravens, Vikings. Ravens 34, Vikings 31. So we'll talk about the Ravens, but I wanted to start with the Vikings. I think we have to officially, Vikings fans, and I know a lot of Vikings fans don't like me. They don't like you either because of what we say about Kirk Cousins. Vikings fans, you are not allowed to say we are a couple plays away from being a good team because at some point you are what you are. And the Vikings are just the team that can play teams close but can never win a game.
I think, so if you're a Vikings fan, this is why they get so angry at you and I, is because their team is the most frustrating team to
Correct.
Watch. Because they should be a good team.
But they're not.
On paper, they should be a good team, but they're not.
You know what I mean?
And so they get so frustrated that they're like, Big Cat and PFT are the reason why my team stinks.
But you know what I mean? When you do the... And every fan does it, and I understand it, when you're like, hey, one play here, one play there. You know, we lost to the Cardinals by a field goal. We lost to the Bengals by a field goal. We lost to, you know, these guys by overtime, all these things. Eventually, you just are a team that can't close, and that's what they are. And I don't know why Mike Zimmer didn't go for two at the end.
According to Mike Zimmer, he didn't want to go for two because that would have meant that the Ravens would have come back on the field and tried to win the game in regulation. And so
which
they tried to do, but it's essentially Mike Zimmer saying, I really don't trust my defense at all in this situation. So he didn't go for two because he was afraid that he would almost be like goading the Ravens offense into trying to win the game in regulation at the end, which is just crazy, like bizarre double logic that he's using.
Crazy.
It all comes down to the fact that he doesn't trust his guys.
The Vikings now have lost two back-to-back games where they were +2 in the turnover differential, which mm-hmm. is very tough to do. They were up. They started the second half up 14 points because they returned the opening kick. So the Vikings just are what they are. They are a team that can play anyone close, but they can never win a big game.
Yeah. This is from Dustin Baker on Twitter. He pointed out that the Vikings and Ravens is a bellwether event for the Vikings. So they're 3-3 against the Ravens.
Okay.
And in the three seasons that they beat Baltimore, the Vikings went to the NFC Championship. In the three seasons that they lost, the head coach got fired that year.
So this will be it.
So this would be Mike Zimmer's.
I believe he probably will get fired
this year. He probably wants to be fired.
Yeah, he's not a bad coach. It's just you do the same thing over and over. Eventually, you just got to say, all right, enough is enough.
Yeah, this was the fullback bowl, too. CJ Ham, Patrick Ricard is, mm-hmm. I don't think he's human.
He was leading.
He gets bigger.
He was leading the Ravens in catches and yards going into the fourth quarter.
He gets bigger every season. I think now he's like 6'3", 315 pounds.
And you know what? The craziest part about this game is the Ravens kind of dominated them. So mm-hmm. I was looking at the box score. The Ravens had 36 first downs to the Vikings 13. It just all goes back to the Ravens defense is good, but they give up by far and away the most explosive plays in the NFL. So I had Evan, our stats guy, look it up because I was like, I feel like the Ravens just always give up huge touchdowns. They've given up 18 plays of 30-plus yards and 11 touchdowns of 30-plus yards. No other team in the NFL has given up five.
Damn.
It's crazy. So they just get gashed for big plays, and then they play good defense as long as they can keep you in front of them.
They're break but don't bend.
Yes. The exact opposite. So that's exactly what happened in this game. They gave up a punt return or a kick return. They gave up a huge touchdown to Justin Jefferson. They gave up a huge run to Dalvin Cook.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the Vikings needed to get like first downs the old-fashioned way, they weren't able to do it.
Yeah, and if you ask John Harbaugh, who the big MVP of this game was, he gave the game ball to faith.
Mm.
Just the concept of faith.
Okay.
Got the game ball from the Ravens today. I think he did that a couple weeks ago. He gave the game ball to teamwork or something like that.
Faith deserves it.
Faith gets the game ball. I'm in favor of giving game balls to Limp Bizkit songs.
We got to bury a narrative on this game.
Okay.
We got to officially bury a narrative. And I've been part of it. Lamar Jackson is now the king of the comebacks this year. So he was down two scores to start the second half. Previously in his career, he was 0-6, went down two scores in the second half. He's now had three games this year where he's brought the Ravens back down from double digits. That narrative's dead. Like, he can do it when he needs to bring his team back, when he needs to throw the ball. He was off in the first half. They were like, felt like they were sleepwalking the first half. But when they needed big plays, he was all over the place running, passing. So we got to bury a narrative.
I think what Lamar was doing the previous seasons, he would always go down double digits to really good teams.
Yeah.
That would make it tough for him to come back on. Now he's going down double digits to worse teams like the Colts,
yes,
the Vikings, and the Chiefs.
Chiefs, yes.
And so he's able to actually come back against them in the second half. But yeah, that narrative's done. See,
Bury it. Like,
underneath
Lamar Jackson was awesome today. He was bad in the first half. And then he was awesome in the second half, and he won this game for the Ravens. Mm-hmm. And, bury that fucking narrative. Come back, Lamar.
Also, shout out to Jordan Jefferson wearing a free Odell
Justin
shirt.
Justin Jefferson. Yeah.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson wearing a free Odell shirt before the game.
Gotta free him.
Free him from a terrible teammate. Free him from malcontentry.
Yeah, free him from
It was free just as in, like... He's up there if you want to grab him. Like, there's a free Odell. Anybody interested?
Yeah, he's it was one of the greatest freedom fights of our time.
Yes.
LeBron got involved.
Uh-huh.
Odell's dad
his
got
dad,
involved.
Everybody, yeah.
The freedom fighters of Odell.
Yep.
They got him released.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank God.
Him and Aaron Rodgers,
yes,
freedom fighters.
Freedom fighters. Odell. Shout out Odell. You fought the good fight of being bad on your team and being a bad teammate. And having your quarterback be worse when you're on the field, and then finally having the team release you—that's freedom, baby.
Thank you, sir.
I feel blessed to be witness to something. That,
I do too. It's,
like, we will someday be
it's
like.
It's important what
do
he's
you
done.
Remember 2021 when we freed Odell?
Yeah, it's important what he's done. It's like we found Coney and we freed Odell.
We freed Odell. Like, he was
big year.
It was unjust what Odell was having to go through, getting paid millions and millions of dollars. To basically have everyone on his team hate him.
To suck the life. To be an energy vampire.
For the second time.
Yeah.
For the second team.
Yeah, he should go back to the Giants.
They could use him.
You know, I mean, we...
Although, no, the Giants have some culture going. You don't want to fuck that up.
Hand up. I think that us as the media lost sight of what's important when it comes to the Odell narrative. We're not talking about the boat picture anymore.
No, I know.
The boat picture is really what started
it. I know. Although it comes up every now and then when they're like the record of the Giants since the boat picture.
Yeah, I mean.
They've been the worst team in the NFL.
And the boat scandal was literally he was just hanging out on a boat one day.
Well, I think it was more that they're wearing jeans on the boat.
Yeah.
Which is like, that's egregious.
Faux pas.
You can't wear jeans on a boat.
And Tim's.
And
they're in Miami.
Yeah, come on. And they had shirts off with jeans. I would rather you be wearing a shirt and be in dick out.
And one of them.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it makes no sense to do jeans with your shirt off on a boat. Like,
I agree.
Makes no sense.
I agree with that. And shoes. Shoes is a really weird part. If you're wearing shoes and your shirt's off and you're in the state of Florida, you should be about to get into a fight.
Yes.
There's no other reason for it.
All right. So everyone just tweet us your favorite moment when we freed Odell. It was a great fight. LeBron, shout out LeBron.
I think we're a free
LeBron
Odell.
LeBron really did free him.
I think we're a free Odell podcast.
I hope LeBron does like a barbershop episode about it,
mm-hmm.
about freeing Odell. All right. Giants, Raiders. Speaking of the Giants, the culture is changing. That was a gutsy win.
Is it?
Yeah. You hate the Giants, but I don't
hate them. I bet on them today.
Yeah, I like the Giants. I knew they were going to win. I bet on them all the time.
The Giants are 3-6. It's their best record through 9 games since 5 years ago.
But they are – the Giants are a team that, like, what the Vikings want to be, I feel like the Giants are, where you can actually look at some of these games. It's like they have been getting closer to really good teams. They got killed by a couple teams. They got killed by the Rams. But they've been getting close to some wins, and they're starting to break through and actually winning a couple of these games. And Daniel Jones wasn't great, but they did, like, that was an ugly win. And sometimes you got to win ugly to change the culture.
Yeah, they beat a more talented team with their own culture.
Yes.
I think that, and they are 3-6. I feel the need to repeat that stat. That's their best record through 9 games since 2016.
Yeah, no, they haven't
been
good.
Definitely turning it around.
But they've been covering spreads. And they've been playing close games. Again, they got smoked by the Rams and the Cowboys. That was also Daniel Jones getting concussed. But
I'm throwing that game out. That game does not count towards who I think the Giants are right now.
The good news for the Giants, they play Monday Night Football against the Bucs, their next game. I think they have a bye week, but then they play. And if they show up and play well in that game,
I could see the Giants winning that game.
I don't know about winning, but they will definitely be in the game.
Monday Night Football.
That was the original Danny Dimes game.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
That's right. That's why I think that they can win. Because my dumb brain flashes back 3 seasons, and I remember Danny Dimes getting in that second half and just absolutely being a cover god for me.
Yeah, I mean, they fight. They fight. Like, they are not, like, super talented. They're always injured. But, I don't know, they beat a team today that was definitely better than them.
Yep.
And I do think that the Raiders, like, emotional bubble kind of burst today. The fact that they have gone through John Gruden and then, you know, Henry Ruggs, which is not, like, I mean, that's...
They're not battling back from that, but it's definitely something that they've had to deal with.
It's a shocking thing to have happen.
Yeah.
If you're a teammate of Henry Ruggs, that's definitely... Let's just do a quick sidebar. I appreciate the people... on Twitter on Friday, who were like, we're mocking Aaron Rodgers, and no one's talking about Henry Ruggs. Like, Henry Ruggs is, there's really no nuance. He's a scumbag, and he killed a person.
And he's also in jail, and, like, he's not going to be in the NFL ever again. Aaron Rodgers is like an MVP candidate.
There's no humor in that. It's just bad guy, killed a person, drunk driving, go to jail.
Yes.
Like, very tragic. Aaron Rodgers, there's some humor in this.
Yeah. And who knows how many people Aaron Rodgers has killed. But
way more.
Probably way more. Yes. But no, there's humor in that. You can joke around about that. Obviously, Henry Ruggs is a scumbag and deserves to be in prison.
But did you see that? People are trying to make the, like,
yeah.
Henry.
Oh. But we also did talk about Henry Ruggs on the show. So, like,
I know. But it was when people were tweeting about Aaron Rodgers, like, why isn't Henry Ruggs trending? It's like, because there's no discussion here.
Yeah.
It's
everyone. I think we're all on the same page here. Henry Ruggs should be in jail.
Yes.
And he is in jail. He's not ever going to play in the NFL again.
But the emotional bubble from the Raiders season had to burst at some point. It felt like today, like, they weren't able to finish any drives.
Mm-hmm.
And I still believe in Rich Bisaccia. But that was, I mean, they just, and also Derek Carr's hair, what's up with that?
Yeah, it's getting froed out.
It looks like a Lego.
It's getting very,
it's fucking crazy.
It's fuzzy. I think the humidity has something to do with it. Anytime he's playing outside of Las Vegas, it always puffs out quite a bit.
There's no humidity right now.
In New York?
Yeah.
There's not?
I mean,
it's more than Vegas.
We're in that crisp, the bomb
cyclone?
Yeah. He's got Lego hair. I don't know what it is. It's like weird lines around his ears, too.
It kind of looks like he's growing pubes out of his head.
It's crazy. I'm not going to tell a man how to do his hair, but I think it had something to do with the loss today.
He probably
needs to
shave
it. Every time he took his helmet off, Clem wrote a blog about it, and it was like, every time he took his helmet off, it was like, whoa, that guy? What?
I've also noticed that Derek Carr seems to throw a lot of interceptions for a guy that doesn't throw any interceptions.
Yeah.
Because every time you talk about Derek Carr and being like, I don't really trust him when it comes down to it, people always point out, well, he actually takes care of the ball besides all the fumbles with his tiny hands.
Right.
But they'll say, like, he doesn't throw interceptions. But then I feel like every time I watch him play, he does throw an interception or a weird interception.
Yes.
Also, special shout out to Pro Football Focus. They were doing this article that came out last week. It was a look ahead to the 2022 draft.
Okay.
And so they did a mock draft, and then they graded the team's performance in their own mock draft that they came up with.
Okay.
So they had the Giants taking two offensive linemen in the first round, gave one pick a C+ and the other a C-.
I love it.
So Pro Football Focus has already graded
Stephen
Giants,
Shea working for them?
The Giants' fake 2022 draft, the picks they decided for them, and given them a C for it. I think that's also assuming that Gettleman's still going to be around by that time. He might.
I think the Giants are doing just enough to, like, they can convince themselves if they – so they're 3-6. I want to say if they can get – I'm looking at their schedule. If they can figure out a way to maybe beat the Cowboys at home and they get to, like, 6 or 7 wins, I think they can there's a way you can look at the Giants to be like, if we're healthy, this could work. Mm-hmm. And then what that means is next year they bring everyone back. Daniel Jones is not good. Joe Judge sucks. And they have to, like, restart everything over. Because that is – It's the worst feeling as a fan to be stuck in that zone of our team's trying really hard and on the right day they look like a real thing. Mm-hmm. And their defense actually, like, is starting to kind of come together a little bit, but then it's not a real thing, and you find out it's just smoke and mirrors, and you're like, fuck, we're fucked.
Yeah, Gettleman, here, a lesson that a lot of you at home could take from this is you got to strike while the iron's hot in life. You have to be your own best self-promoter sometimes. Gettleman should just march straight into Mr. Mara's office tomorrow, mm-hmm. and be like, we are 3-6 for the first time since 2016. Yes. I think this warrants an extension. That you can demonstrably prove that you've shown improvement in this team.
Facts.
Over the last 3 years.
Facts.
You got to ask for an extension right now.
Facts.
This is a big win.
Facts. Huge win. Huge, huge win. And I just love the Giants because all they do is cover.
Mm-hmm. Also, DeSean Jackson is a Raider, as first reported on Part of My Take on Friday, I believe.
That was a good old-fashioned Etsy dream board.
Yep. That was
just like, huh,
fast
where does
receiver.
Speed in cool colors look like?
Yep.
Oh. Raiders.
And he dropped his own Photoshop, too. He had somebody whip him up a Photoshop. He looks awesome in the all-white uniforms.
Yeah. I'm happy when those little things, it's like a reminder, like, oh, we still got it. We mm-hmm. can still just be like, yeah, DeSean Jackson should be on the Raiders
yep.
and have it happen. All right. Before we get to the next game.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
All right. Falcons, Saints. God bless the Saints. They are, we've said it before, they are the greatest yo-yo team of all time. And now obviously Jameis got hurt, but they have beaten the Packers, then the next week lost to the Panthers. They beat the Patriots, then the next week lost to the Giants. They beat the Bucks, then the next week they lose to the Falcons. They are perfectly consistent in their letdown spots, and this was a prime one. And they almost came back and won the game. And is Atlanta, like, fixed? Because
yeah.
that's a game. We were watching it, and all of a sudden, it pops up. They're up 24-6 going into the fourth quarter, or in the fourth quarter. All of a sudden, the Saints are in the red zone about to score and take the lead out of nowhere. Normal Atlanta mm-hmm. sports, the Falcons just lose that game. They go throw it down the sideline. I don't know what the Saints are doing in defense. Cordarrelle Patterson streaking down the sideline, and they win the game. So all in the last week, the Braves won the World Series. Georgia continues to be the only really good team in college football.
Atlanta United made the MLS playoffs.
Atlanta United, dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Falcons win a game that they tragically, like, gave up the lead and should have lost. The old Falcons would have lost a million times out of a million.
Yeah.
And they win it against a division rival.
So I actually think that our Falcons power rankings were 100% correct a couple weeks ago. The Vikings are definitely the Falcons now. The Vikings have become the Falcons.
They still got to win some.
They got to win a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But they're losing in very Falcons ways. These Falcons are not the old school Falcons. They're a little bit different. I don't think that they're as good as some of the better Falcons teams that we've seen in the past. Obviously, like the team that beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl for three quarters. But they're frisky. They're dangerous. I would say the Falcons are a team that could beat. They could beat 90% of teams in the NFL on any given Sunday.
Do you know what it is? It's Matt Ryan is essentially saying, I'm still, like, you guys all thought I was washed, I'm still pretty good. Because he was really good, And he also jumped up. He's now tied seventh all-time for fourth quarter comebacks for a quarterback, which is kind of crazy, isn't it? Especially the names. So it's Peyton, Breeze, Brady, Roethlisberger, Marino, Favre. Like, I'm just listing Hall of Famers greatest of all times. Elway, Ryan.
Damn.
Like, that's a crazy list.
Yeah, I actually had no idea that he, because when I think of Matty Matt Ryan, when I think of Matt Ryan and the Falcons, I think of like blown fourth quarter.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like he and he will, I think he has 40 and Marino and Favre are like 43. So he will probably end up his career top five fourth quarter comebacks for a quarterback. And I know that, like, obviously different NFL than it was 30 years ago, but I still think that that stat weirdly like translates over time. Do you know what I mean?
It does, because it also takes into account like your defense at the time.
Right.
But it, yeah, if you're a quarterback that consistently like come back and win in the fourth quarter.
Drive in the fourth quarter.
There's definitely something to be said about you coming through in the clutch and having everything around you slow down when the game's on the line. So shout out Matt Ryan. Very good. Very happy
Crazy.
For him.
Matty Ice.
Matty Ice. Sean Payton. I'm concerned with Sean Payton because he's very much a like, I trust the guys in my locker room to fix any sort of situation that's going on. I don't know how he ever convinced himself that Trevor Siemian is the guy that's going to be able to take you to the playoffs.
Well, here's what I'm confused about with Sean Payton. To get Colin Cowherd on you for a second. Sean Payton was dating in a long-term relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a friend of the opposite sex who was like, hey, you know, wouldn't it be crazy if we were ever single at the same time? Taysom Hill. He says, yeah, that would. We'd probably be the best ever. Like, we get along. Mm-hmm. We've been friends for a really long time. And all these years, they don't, the timing never matched up.
Mm-hmm.
The timing matched up. Like, Taysom Hill's back from a concussion.
Yep.
Trevor Siemian is now your starting quarterback. The timing matched up. Or Taysom Hill should be your starting quarterback,
or at least,
now you're like, I don't think I want this.
Or at least have Taysom Hill just use him as a meat tenderizer and just run straight into defense, soften them up a little bit every now and again. I think Taysom Hill, how many rushing attempts did he have today? It wasn't that much.
Does it not make any sense? Like, all we heard was Taysom Hill will be, and that's mostly from Florio, who has just kept on saying that Sean Payton thinks Taysom Hill is a franchise quarterback. They paid him a ton of money. They kept him around. The timing is right now, dude. Like, time to start, like, making this a real relationship. Taysom Hill, no offense to Trevor Siemian, Taysom Hill should have started today. If he doesn't start next week, I'm just going to be like, what's going on here?
I think Sean Payton's like, listen, I just really don't want to ruin our great friendship. I don't want to ruin it all by fucking.
Right.
That's such a great dynamic.
Yes.
So Taysom Hill was 2 for 2 on attempts today, and he ran the ball one time. For 4 yards. At the very least, just give Taysom Hill the ball and have, if he's not going to be a starting quarterback, have him do the stuff that you love having Taysom Hill around to do.
Just run wildcat all the time.
He just wasn't in the game plan whatsoever. Sean Payton, my prediction for him, he's going to be, as the kids say, he's going to be in his bag this week.
Mm.
He's going to be big time in his bag.
Yep.
He's going to have all the weird trick plays that he's filed away in a dark closet.
They should just start Taysom Hill. You're paying him.
Yeah, you can start him, but I don't think that Peyton's going to do that. I think he likes him too much.
I know, it's crazy.
But if you're going to even have him on your roster, at least use him like you like to use Taysom Hill, and don't have him be an afterthought in the game plan when your starting quarterback is Trevor Siemian. I mean, you were benching Drew Brees, even when Drew Brees was still decent, to get, you know, force the ball into Taysom Hill's hands several times a game a couple years ago. But now when it's Trevor Siemian, they won't even do that. So
it's just like, I think they probably just been having hotel sex, and now they're like trying to have sober sex in their apartment. Like, no, this isn't going to work.
The lights on.
Yeah, it's not
missionary.
Working. It looks totally different for them.
Mm-hmm.
All we've heard is that Taysom Hill, Sean Payton is the only guy in the league who sees Taysom Hill as a real starting quarterback.
So
now is your chance.
So they're playing at the Titans. I'm telling you, Sean Payton's going to do some weird shit next week because he realizes that he can't just, like, Trevor Siemian his way out of this mess.
Correct.
He's going to have to do some smoke and mirrors weird shit.
Even more to my point, there was a rumor, a reported rumor, that they asked about Teddy Bridgewater. He doesn't want to. This has all been a ruse.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to start Taysom Hill.
Maybe he was just hoping that somebody would offer Taysom Hill or offer a shitload of picks or something as trade value for him. If Sean Payton just put the word out there of how much he likes Taysom Hill, Maybe another coach would be like, wow, if he sees something in Taysom, maybe I will too.
All I heard was that you and Taysom Hill would have the craziest sex together. I want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all
we're
I'm
not,
asking.
We're not seeing it.
I'm not seeing it. All right, Patriots-Panthers. Hank, I said before on Friday that the Patriots were back after their win against the Chargers, but to be truly back, the encore was to dominate the Panthers. They did that. Sam Darnold stinks. How are you feeling?
I feel great. I'm looking right at the Bills. They're only one game ahead of us in the division.
That's how where we're at right now?
Tables turn.
How the tables have turned. December to remember. It's going to be December to remember.
Wow.
Do you feel like you can root for Mac Jones with a clean conscience knowing that he's now a dirty player?
Yeah, I mean, that's a heat-of-the-moment thing. I think you and I would probably do the same thing.
Grab a guy's ankle, try to snap his leg.
Yeah, he got accused of being dirty.
It was dirty-ish, but again, it was like a split-second thing. You're just trying to tackle the guy. You're not thinking about it being a dirty.
In the heat of the moment.
Yeah. Mac-Man Jones.
That's like Ndamukong Suh when he does a dirty play. He knows he's doing a dirty play.
But he can't stop himself.
He can't stop himself. This was more just like, you know.
It's just competitor?
I think he just wants to win.
Right.
Yeah.
You want a crazy Mac Jones stat that's like so stupid that I love whenever they put a bunch of guardrails on a stat?
Yes.
Mac Jones joins Andrew Luck and Dak Prescott as the only quarterbacks, I love this stat, to have 10-plus touchdowns, 2,000-plus yards, and 5 wins in their first 9 games in the NFL. I wonder what happens after 10th game.
Tom who?
Mm. Who else is added? Mm. I love with those stats. It's like, wait, so what about... Yeah, what about eight games? What happens?
Yeah. I don't know.
That's rarefied air. Andrew Luck and Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Belichick, he owns Sam Darnold. You know, it was the seeing ghost four game all over again.
All time.
Sam Darnold.
Some terrible interceptions.
His quote, so he was 16 for 33 with 3 interceptions. His quote after was, I'm fully aware I didn't play my best football.
Yeah.
So at least you have that, Panthers fans. At least... Sam Darnold has a self-awareness to know he fucking sucks.
Well, no, I'm fully aware I didn't play my best.
Yeah.
So maybe there's still a little bit of self-delusion there. The interceptions that he threw were interceptions that only Sam Darnold throws, too.
Yes.
Just like awful passes. Passes that make me feel physically ill.
He's so bad.
Very bad.
I can't believe... Actually, I can believe because all we do is like knee-jerk reactions, but the fact that we were like, Sam Darnold's fixed.
Matt Rhule kind of threw him under the bus, too. Well, I don't know if you can call that throwing under the bus. I think
he
deserves
to be under the bus.
Told it like it was. After the game, he goes, I don't want to lay it all on one guy, but we can't keep throwing the ball up in the air.
But our quarterback's name is Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Get the gist?
When your coach is saying about your quarterback, we can't keep throwing the ball,
yeah,
then that's an issue right there.
So... the other thing of note of this game, I think that the scariest part, if you're a Bills fan or a fan of another AFC team, is that when Belichick starts dressing worse, I think his team gets better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he knows his team is good now, because when his outfit that he showed up to today with, like, the one leg up.
It
was so funny.
It was awesome.
It was so Belichick.
He had a belly sweatshirt on with another sweatshirt underneath it.
Yeah, it looked like he was wearing a crop top.
Yeah, but it was
like two different layers, like two different lengths of cut off sleeves. There was one like quarter sleeve and then one like two-thirds sleeve cut off underneath that.
I have no idea
where the fuck he gets the shit from, but it's amazing. His wardrobe must be insane.
And he had his sweatpant, one leg up, was like almost like maybe he's a swinger or something, being like, yeah, I fuck. Like when they leave their garage doors a little bit open. But
he's got a pineapple keychain hanging out of the front.
Yeah, but Belichick, like when he doesn't, the worse he dresses, I feel like the better the Patriots are. Like he knows, it's almost his tell. It's his like Teddy KGB eating Oreos. When Belichick shows up in a custom bra hoodie with a half a leg up on his sweatpants looking... Like, he looks like he got concussed and he woke up in an alley. He knows that they're going to fucking kill the Panthers.
The more he looks like a professional dog walker, the better off his team's going to be. He just shows up wearing whatever clothes he feels like he can get the most dirty and not have to worry about later.
Like, the Patriots are back.
Yeah.
I saw that picture. I was like, uh-oh. Like, that Belichick is back. He's all the way back.
Patriots-Browns next Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Whose line is it anyway?
Oh, whose line is it anyway?
I believe it's in New England.
In New England, Patriots-Browns, Patriots minus 2.5.
Patriots minus 1.
Did you look?
I did not. I did not cheat.
It's minus 2.5.
Damn. That's some good odds making. Doesn't mean I will get it right when I bet it, but
I like
did I get it right.
I like the people saying that Odell is going to go to the Patriots. Like Bill Belichick would welcome Odell Beckham. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't know. That's kind of right up his alley.
You think so? Actually, yeah. I mean, they fucking signed Antonio Brown.
They kind of love that. Like
someone with like actual issues.
And the thing I like that they do with Belichick is like they will take a quote about him that he said post game where he compliments a player on the other team. They're like, well, Belichick loves him, so he's coming to England. Like after like a game or something, he's like, Odell Beckham's really good, like great receiver or something. And that is the basis that people use to be like, oh, I think he's going to New England.
Yeah. But
Belichick loves him.
The Patriots right now, I feel like their team is in such a good spot that you don't I don't know why you'd want to add somebody as volatile as Odell into that.
And they have
usually if they do it, they do it for like it costs them nothing. But like if they're gonna get Odell, they're not gonna risk anything to get him.
They would be making the exact same mistake the Browns made. Like the Browns have an identity, then they're like, oh, let's add Odell, this will be good. It's but stick with your identity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't try to I mean, I actually think the one thing that could bring Bill Belichick down is Odell Beckham's dad making a mixtape about how he's always open and Mac Jones is missing him. Imagine if we have to free him again. I don't know if I can go through it. I'll do it again.
No,
I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it.
Hank,
I can't free this man twice.
How would you describe the Patriots? Like, how have they started to, what is their identity right now? Because as far as I can tell, it's just that they're trusting Mac Jones to throw the ball now.
They're gritty as hell.
Well, I feel like, like I said last week, they're not great at anything, but they're very good at everything.
Fundamentally sound. Their team, you don't want to.
They don't make mistakes.
I think 3 or 4 weeks ago at this point, their team you don't want to see at the end of the season.
Like, there's no one guy on offense where you're like, oh shit, that's the guy that will, like, you have to game plan around everything around him, but they do everything well. Jacoby Myers did not catch a touchdown, so the weight still.
Matthew Judon, J.C. Jackson. I mean, their defense is good.
I mean, yeah, that's right.
And J.C. Jackson, Mr. INT. Yes. Their defense has some ballers.
Definitely, yes. Yes. But their offense is like a bunch of good players. Like, they don't have...
I don't think that they...
They have like a... I'm trying to think of like... They don't have a Tyreek Hill. They don't have a Derrick Henry.
Gronk, or
yeah. Yeah, right. Like, they don't have these guys. You're like, oh my God, he's a game changer. But everyone else is good. Yeah.
I feel like they don't have enough talent to get over mistakes. So if they make dumb mistakes on offense,
but they don't.
They're kind of fucked. But they just don't because they're
Belichick,
a well-coached team.
So you're thinking? Are you
Soupy? I was in the shower.
Soup season.
I was telling PFT this the other day. It was the first time I was like in the shower getting ready for work, and I don't know why I was thinking about it, but I was like.
You didn't tell me
you're
this in the shower.
You're thinking Soupy?
Yes, I did.
No.
Are you officially thinking Soupy?
I was.
You were not in the shower when you told me this. You thought about this in the shower.
Yes,
and then,
I told you about this. I told you about my shower.
Yeah. You were thinking Soupy.
We share each other's shower
thoughts. Tell me exactly how it broke down. And what time, like, was it beginning of the shower? Was it during the soup?
Was
it during the soup?
It was.
Because that's.
No, I don't do soup at home.
That's
like a sub. That
would be so funny if Hank was just making the soup and he's like, soupy?
that's a road delicacy.
I feel like Hank's the kind of guy that gets like a bar of soap and just scrubs the fuck out of his face.
And there's one single pube on it.
I do use Irish Spring, but I do. Okay. I got like beard stuff. I take care of my beard.
All right, so tell us, you get in the shower.
I mean, you guys were main characters of my soup imagination because I was just thinking. I don't know why I was thinking
in
about it.
Shower?
I must have been a Thursday. I was like getting ready for work, getting my mind geared up, and I was just like, what if the Patriots get to the Super Bowl? Like, Big Cat and PFT will be so mad. And, like, this year, my brother is getting married the week after the Super Bowl in California, so I'm going to be out in California.
So he's going to basically get a Soupy for his wedding.
I'm thinking, like, it's going to be just the biggest party week of all time. Like, we're going to win the Soupy, I'm taking the next week off, and I'm just going to, like, live the greatest life of all time in L.A.
Hank has literally already taken the week after the Super Bowl off, which is important. Vacations are something that
I think everybody
should
take. Well, my brother's getting married in California.
Yeah,
we're
going
to fly back to New York and then fly back to California.
I love the fact that you're actually planning this out as having an extended week-long
Soupy.
Celebration of a Super Bowl that the Patriots are going to win.
Wouldn't it be sick?
For you, yes. Yes.
And I was like, Big Cat and PFT would hate me.
Yeah, a rookie quarterback winning a Super Bowl.
I hate's the wrong word.
Oh, you would. Oh.
I would hate it. No, hand up. I would hate it.
I'm holding.
It's not a strong enough term.
Here's
what
you
got to
do, though, PFT. It's called hedging here, where you pretend you're not going to hate it because hoping that it
doesn't
happen.
There's no way
it's
going to happen.
That way you can be like, I'm a good friend. I told you I wouldn't hate it.
It's.
But we could hate it.
I'm going to hate the fuck out of it.
I mean, it's very unrealistic. It's just, you know.
No, I actually.
It's the first time and obviously as a Patriots fan, you gas yourself up. You're like, all right, we could do this. It was the first time where I was like, this might actually happen.
No, I actually, the craziest thing is, I don't think it's that unrealistic. I think they still got a good amount of work to do. Because they started, you know, started the season.
Yeah, they're going to have to do. It's going to have to be like they're when gonna, they went on the road and beat Kansas City,
but
on the road in the AFC Championship.
But they can win the AFC East.
Yeah.
And they and if you look at, like, the AFC, now the Chiefs are, like, pedestrian. And I know Chiefs fans get mad, but they look pedestrian. Like, what are the teams? The Titans, the Ravens, the Bills, and then, like, some combo of the Chargers, Raiders, and Chiefs. I don't think the
Titans
Patriots,
are like the team that you fear the most out of
right,
that.
And I don't think
and
the Patriots,
Belichick is out for blood with that.
I don't think the Patriots are like that far off of any of those teams.
What's up with the Patriots not being able to win at home, though?
Steelers, maybe?
That's kind of weird.
Water always finds its level. That's all the bad things that have happened in the beginning of the season are like, that's good. It's got it out of their system. They lost at home. They're going to be able to, you know.
That guys, will be a good game against the Browns. Like,
we can't
that's
lose
a good
at home.
Litmus
we have to beat them.
You know what?
Yeah, I think Browns Hank's are playing the Titans in November.
I think they are just one Odell Beckham away from being a complete team that could win the Super Bowl.
They should do it like Monday. Revenge game.
Well, I don't think it's a waiver wire thing.
But Belichick will probably just sign him just to get the playbook.
Yeah,
the
I think
I don't really understand the waiver wire, but I don't think the Patriots are.
No,
I think
like
he said
fantasy,
he wanted to go to the Seahawks.
Worst team to get the number one priority.
He says he wants to go to a contender, but then he also says that he's leaning towards the Seahawks or the 49ers right now. So,
but both those teams would be in that waiver wire ability, like because someone will take a shot at him. And be like, well, he can't hold us all hostage.
Mm-hmm.
And just so you know, he can, and then we will have to free him. All right. Dolphins-Texans, I don't really want to talk about this game. The biggest note of this game was that Tua got announced out. The starting quarterback for the Dolphins got announced out. And the line actually did move towards the line actually moved correctly. Okay, never mind. I was going to say Tua, I bet on the Texans, then Tua got announced out and I was mad.
Yep, me too. That's exactly what happened with me. And I was like this, I was counting on betting against Tua.
Yeah.
And now I have to deal with Jacoby Brissett, who for whatever reason, I feel like he plays a lot better when he's just put in at the last minute.
Correct.
You don't give him like a
week.
2 seconds. Yeah, exactly. The less he knows about the game plan, The better, for him. But yeah, apparently Tyrod Taylor doesn't make that much of a difference over Mills Mafia because he stunk today.
Yeah, he stunk.
I think he had 3 interceptions.
He stunk. There was
he should be the one that gets an exemption from having shots, not Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Tyrod Taylor should have like the doctors standing on the table being like, hey, listen, this guy and Needles do not get along well.
Yeah. He 9 total turnovers in this game.
Mm-hmm. Ugly.
That's something. So, Jake, do you want to say something about the Dolphins winning?
Yeah. Irrelevant.
I mean,
they don't
it was,
even have their pick.
Yeah, it's okay. Jake Fleming over there. You do have a pick, which actually
but
is not that bad right now. The 49ers.
Yeah, but whatever.
I don't really know what else to say about this game. Good job, Dolphins.
These teams should play each other every week because that way we can all just agree to not pay attention to it as a nation.
9 turnovers. That's something special.
It was bad, and there was one. It went interception on consecutive plays. Jake and I were trying to figure out what the most consecutive interceptions has ever been in an NFL game. I think it has to have happened like 3 plays in a row. There must be an instance where that's happened. If we were going to get it, I felt like it was going to be today.
Did you
that's
find
what I was
it?
Hoping for. No, but it's gotta happen. Maybe there's even an instance where it was 4 in a row. I don't know. We've had some pretty bad quarterbacks in this league.
All right, we'll find it. We'll try to find it.
It was a bad game, and I feel bad for anybody that watched it. That's my main takeaway from this game.
But shout out Frank because he was able to go see his Dolphins win. That's unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
Yep,
the Dolphins, by the way, have done that. That's the second time they've done that this year. The interception.
Oh, the back to back.
They
plays,
did it
yeah.
with Matt Ryan and Tua a couple weeks ago. All right. Sorry, Dolphins fans. I know there's going to be like 3 guys out there. I don't know. I don't think they're Dolphins fans anymore. They're just Tua fans.
Yeah, they're just happy.
It's heat season. And Panthers.
And heat season. Okay. Yeah, heat season. Okay, yeah, the Panthers. Have they lost yet? No, they haven't.
They have 1 overtime loss.
Okay.
They're 10-0-1, I believe.
Those guys are good.
What's their hashtag?
We see red. At least it was when I was in like high school. I don't know if it still is.
We see red. Okay, yeah. We can do better than that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll work on it.
Yeah. Give us. We only throw rats on the
yes,
ice.
Yes, that's the long tradition.
The long rats.
Oh, hashtag time to hunt.
Time to hunt.
Oh,
okay, I like it.
Okay, I like that one.
Best team in the league.
They need to get a more ferocious panther. Maybe a panther.
Stanley? You don't like Stanley?
Wait, his name's Stanley?
Stanley Sea Panther?
Yeah.
It sounds like
C stand for?
I have no clue.
Yeah, Stanley is the name of like an accountant. Stanley's not a man eater.
Stanley Panther.
Stanley the Panther.
Stanley Sea?
This
all counts as Dolphins talk, by the way. We're just running the clock. This is Dolphins talk.
That's a goofy ass mascot right there. I disavow Stanley the Panther. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cup?
For the cop.
Oh, so that makes sense.
Stanley Cup Panther. Nice.
Very cool.
Okay. That all counted. Stop the clock. Chargers Eagles. Great comeback game for Justin Herbert. He had two bad games, came back, was awesome. I feel like the Eagles actually they won in a loss because they finally figured out how to use Jalen Hurts. Like, he was running all over the Chargers. They, like, throwing bombs to Devontae Smith, who had an awesome game. I don't know. It felt like the Eagles actually found something on offense.
Give Nick Sirianni his flowers,
which
Eagles fans.
A fan actually did that.
Yeah, it was bad.
They threw flowers at him.
Is that wrong? Is that an inappropriate thing to do? They do it at bullfights all the time. They're poisonous flowers. Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Was it poison ivy?
Uh-huh. No, it was dogwood.
Was it really?
Yeah.
They tried to poison their coach.
Yeah. In weddings.
Listen, yeah. You throw flowers at people that you care, that you love.
It was very funny that they did that. Yeah, I like that.
The funniest part of that entire interaction was actually not Nick Sirianni getting hit by the flowers, but Nick Sirianni then stopping dead in his tracks, pointing into the stands, and screaming at somebody for throwing flowers
at him. Like, hey, bro, you're in Philly.
Yeah, that's the nicest thing that they'll ever do for you in Philadelphia.
Next time, it's a fucking brick.
I've decided that...
next time, they're throwing a bullet at your head, okay? Yeah. So just be happy with flowers this time.
It's not a battery.
Yeah.
Okay? You should be thankful for that. But I've decided that I still like the Chargers a lot, but I do not trust their defense.
Their defense is not good.
I don't trust it.
No, and they're injured. And I like Brandon Staley. We're going to have him back on the show. I think he's addicted to going for fourth down. Like, he's addicted to
And
it's scary because it's like he just lives on the fucking edge. Mm-hmm. He is a adrenaline junkie. That fourth down at the end of the game, which I agreed with, but still – even if you agree with it, you're watching it, you're like, if they don't get this, they're going to fucking lose this game when they could easily kick a field goal right here. The guy likes to live on the edge. He's a bad boy.
I think
fourth down.
I think you're actually right that some of it is just adrenaline for him.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what the percentages are, what the analytics say in the moment, but he just loves being like, fuck it. We're sending our offense back out there. I'm going fourth down.
Because it's weird watching a Chargers game, and I guess it's a smart strategy because – teams should do this more often where they know they're going to go for it on fourth down before. Like, he knows at some point when they get to some point in the on the field, they're always going to go for it on fourth down so they can game plan around it, which is actually smart football, but it's still scary. And even though it's, like, very commonplace now, everyone goes for it on fourth down, it's scary to just always go for it on fourth down.
It's also reached the point where the defense now is starting to adjust what they're doing on different play calls on, like, second down and third down on defense because now it's in the back of their head, this crazy motherfucker is going to go for it on fourth down if it's anything less than 9 yards.
Yes.
And so then they're, like, double psyching themselves out on defense, calling weird alignments and different coverages that they normally wouldn't do against a team like that. And Brandon Staley is just like, you know what? He's living rent-free in opposing defensive coordinators' heads.
But people go for it so much on fourth down now, I'm starting to, like, I think it's aging me and my takes because Lane Kiffin just goes for it on fourth down all the time. Sometimes it's nice to just punt it and just be like, you know what? We'll just punt it.
Well, as Josh Allen
like
said.
It's a nice thing to do sometimes.
As Josh Allen said today, he's like, we love drives that end in a kick. Yeah. No matter what it is, it's good if you're kicking at the end of your drive.
Yeah.
If it's an extra point, if it's a field goal, or if it's a punt. Punting is fun. Punting can be fun.
Every now and then, a punt just feels good. Like, hey, you know what? We don't have it on this drive. Mm-hmm. Let's punt it. Let's play a little fucking defense. We'll get the ball back. And then maybe we'll punt it again. I'm a results guy. It makes me nervous. It makes me nervous to always go for it on fourth down. Just mix in a punt every now and then to just calm everyone down.
Yeah, I'm a results guy. I'm not a process guy. I trust the results, and in this game, the results say that Brandon Staley did a good job. So congrats, Brandon Staley.
I do think on like a serious note, there is a point where, like everything with the analytics, there's a point where it will go too far with like never punting, where the human element gets involved, where it's like you just keep if you have a game where you just don't get a fourth down conversion multiple times, your defense is just like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Like, give us a chance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's going to be a coach. It'll swing the other way, and we'll get a coach that punts on first down. That's what I want to see.
Lane Kiffin did it, I want to say 2 weeks ago against Auburn, where they were down 10 in field goal range, and he went for it on fourth down. It's like, what? Why don't you kick a field goal?
He just likes points, man. He's addicted to that points lifestyle.
We had also the from our stat guy, new stat guy, Jeff Henderson on Stat Hole Sports, who finds us the saddest stats. The longest drive with no points, the Chargers drove 98 yards.
Yeah.
He went for it on fourth down.
It'll never be top.
Because it's crazy.
You can't have a drive longer than 98 yards because you would have to start at your own 1 yard line
and finish
and
the
then
one.
Finish at the opposing 1 yard line.
It was incredible.
So we saw football history today.
It was truly incredible to see that. So that you need a guy who's addicted to going for it on fourth down to have that happen. But yeah, Chargers, that was a game. I think we said it last week, but this, if the Chargers were going to be considered for real, they had to win this game.
Yeah.
And the Eagles are kind of what Eagles are. Try to compete in games, but go to sleep every night if you're an Eagles fan being like, we got three draft picks.
I think the Eagles can beat...
Three first-round picks.
The Eagles can beat every bad team in the NFL. Yeah. They're not a bad team. They're like, they're slightly... They're a good bad team.
Yes, yes. All right, Cardinals, 49ers. Hand up. I have to do a mea culpa. Cliff Kingsbury's a good coach. There it is. He's a good coach. Yeah, because that was an impressive win for them today with... their two top wide receivers out and their quarterback out, and like they game planned better than the 49ers today. And I'm starting to think Kyle Shanahan, like, I don't know what's going on, but we're getting a few years in now where the 49ers, like, they have impressive wins every now and then, and then this is an inexcusable loss to me if you're the 49ers, because the Cardinals have had so many guys out. You should win this game. You played them tough like a month ago, and Cliff Kingsbury had a great game plan, and the Cardinals are just like that. Actually, in a weird way, this was a statement win for the Cardinals, even though they didn't have Kyler Murray, because it proves that like the bones of the team is very, very good. And then you add Kyler Murray. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Colt McCoy is maybe the best backup quarterback in his career, if you look at how long he's been in the league. And I know he's 8-22 as a starter, but he never looks like he's outmatched. He never looks lost when he's on the field. He's a good backup that you want to have on your team if you have to go to a guy in like a tough spot. I think Cliff Kingsbury is a good coach. I think he's a good head coach. But he did a good job of managing his game manager today. Didn't ask him to do too much.
But they were
put the ball in James Conner's hands, and James Conner, he all he does is score multiple touchdowns in games.
They had a couple of nice trick plays. They had that big trick play that went, you know, like they were doing enough weird stuff to keep you like, hey, we're not going to just try to beat you with our backup quarterback running our regular offense kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I was impressed, and their defense is really good, and the Cardinals. Like, that was, if you're a Cardinals fan, you watch that game, you're like, we have no one, and we won in the division against, like, a repeat opponent. I don't know. I thought that was a very impressive win for them. I don't know what's going on with the 49ers.
So last week we talked about Kyle Shanahan, how his win last week bought him another two games of not having the is Kyle Shanahan on the hot seat conversation. But this game was different. We could not have looked forward to this game and seen that Kyler Murray was going to be out. But if you got Kyler Murray out and you got Hopkins out.
And A.J. Green,
and you still get the shit kicked out of you.
Yep.
It's not like this was a close game ever.
No.
This game was out of hand from the very beginning of it.
James Conner ran all over them.
I always just assume that the 49ers are injured. And sure, they've got a couple injuries here and there. But no, this, like, you had a lot of your starters back and playing.
They just fumbled every time that they got close.
In the first half, they had some fumbles that killed them. And I think Jimmy G actually just... he is the reason why a lot of his players get banged up sometimes. He throws the most hospital passes of any starting quarterback.
Jimmy G, if there's any type of rush, it just all falls apart. Which I know that's whatever. You can say that for a lot of quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
But he like gets smaller in the pocket and just gets swarmed.
So the 49ers have lost 11 out of 12 home games.
Lost 8 in a row.
That's a lot.
8 in a row home games.
The Chiefs broke the Niners in the Super Bowl. The Bucs broke the Chiefs. The Saints broke the Bucks. Falcons broke the Saints. Falcons go to the Super Bowl.
I think, Hank, I mean, it just goes back to the Patriots, right? They've broken all the teams.
Technically, it's Tom.
Tom? Oh. Wait, did Tom break the 49ers?
Tom Brady broke Kyle Shanahan before he even went to the 49ers.
Right. He was, like, the Patriots didn't break the Chiefs. Tom broke the Chiefs when he beat them in the Super Bowl last year.
But he also broke Kyle Shanahan on a personal level.
Yeah.
Right.
But all the things you're contributing to the Patriots, you could technically say is Tom.
But also the Patriots broke Jimmy G when they got rid of him and they chose to stay with Tom Brady.
Then Martellus Bennett called him a pussy.
No, that was Tom.
Yeah, Tom traded him.
Yeah.
Tom's dad traded him. Tom's dad pulled an Odell Beckham Sr.
Yeah.
And said, get this kid away from my son.
I don't think that was his dad. I think that was Tom.
I think that was Tom
being
Brady.
Like, get this guy the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And he was right. People were mad at the time.
I just don't know. The 49ers are a head scratcher. This is a game they should have won to get back in like the playoff picture, and they just stinker.
Great to see Kittle back out there, though. Yeah, he was balling.
He played well.
I think his 1,100 yard game. He's a beast.
I'm very interested to see if the 49ers thing does break down, how the knives are going to come out. Like, who's going to throw who under the bus first? Because there's going to be three guys that are going to be directly in the spotlight. Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, Jimmy G. There's going to be like some weird politicking going on to try to like get out in front of whatever story comes
out. You say the Patriots can't win at home. Imagine being a 49ers season ticket holder.
I mean, I hate when teams move like this. Like, they shouldn't have moved this far away.
Mm-hmm.
They play in Santa Clara. It also just proves, as always in the NFL, like, you can get everything right, and if you just don't get the quarterback right, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but I mean, fired. Even with Jimmy G, they got to the Super Bowl.
No, I know.
They got that pretty right.
I know, but that team was very good around him, too.
But they're broken. I think the 49ers are officially a broken group of guys.
If he makes that pass, that one pass that he overthrew Emmanuel Sanders. Was it Emmanuel Sanders?
Sure.
I think it was. He overthrew him.
He was open.
Everything changes. All right. Last game. And then we'll get to Football Guy of the Week. Chiefs, 13. Packers, 7. Maybe Jordan Love needs to sit a little bit more?
I don't know. Who knows? Jordan Love...
He wasn't ready.
I don't think any amount of sitting is going to make him better at football.
Year and a half. He wasn't ready. He's got to just sit a few more years.
Does he need to just sit down? He needs to play less football, and then pretty soon he'll be better at football.
This was the best game.
This is a great game for you. Because
this is the best game of my season.
Because now you're just officially counting down Aaron Rodgers and the end of his career with the Packers. And then you're like, guess what? For the next... You're doing the reverse when teams are like, you know what? We've got our guy for the next 10 to 15 years. You're seeing Jordan Love, and you're like, the Packers are going to stink for the next 10 to 15 years because that's going to be their quarterback.
Confession time on Friday during Aaron Rodgers' entire whatever he was doing on Friday, giving that interview and just
speech.
I don't know what it was.
Keynote.
I may have gone on Twitter and searched Aaron Rodgers tired of as the keywords just so I could read Packers fans being like, I'm tired of this guy and everything he brings and the antics he brings.
Are they starting to turn on Aaron Rodgers?
I think there are some Packers fans. They love the player, but they do like it's not I'm very biased, but I don't think it's a biased thing to say that Aaron Rodgers does add distractions. He does. Like he just has a lot of shit that goes, you know, in his orbit. But I'd love to see those same people today after watching Jordan Love. Again, maybe he just needs more time. He's, you know, it's a year and a half that he got to sit and learn from Aaron Rodgers. Like, he's not ready, guys.
I don't think you want to give him
extend
more time.
Extend him now.
You want
you
to
should
get
extend
him.
They should extend him.
Who do you think is more upset, Packers fans at Aaron Rodgers or Chiefs fans at Jackson Mahomes? I think Chiefs fans have had it. They're officially up to here.
What did he do today?
No, just in general.
Oh.
In general. He is, and it's actually really nice if you're the Chiefs because you can have a lot of conversations about why your football team is kind of broken at this point because they're not – and they're still like a decent team, but they are very much not the Chiefs.
Right.
There are football reasons for it, but it's awesome to just have the brother of your quarterback, and it's like – because he dances like an idiot. That's why our team sucks.
Yes, yes. Although I do think Patrick Mahomes is 100% in on every single TikTok video.
I also think that Patrick Mahomes – should we be the ones to have the conversation? How injured is he?
Yeah,
what
no.
does that mean?
Turf
what
do you toe? Mean?
Florio got mad at me, by the way.
For what?
Because he said that he's actually been saying it for like a month and a half. And I was like, yeah, I don't think you get like what we're saying. He's like, because I quote tweeted it. he had an article last week that was like, is Patrick Mahomes injured? And I was like, and here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, what does this mean? I was like, well, we joked that it's someone's going to say that he's injured. He's like, I've been saying it for a month. I'm like, exactly. Like, exactly. That's the point. If you're Steph Curry and Patrick Mahomes, you're never bad. You're just injured.
Yeah, verbal meme. It's the guy that's sweating with his hand above the two buttons, and he can't figure out which one to press. And one says, is Patrick Mahomes injured? And the other is, did Aaron Rodgers cost himself the locker room by not getting the vaccine? And he doesn't know which one to publish. Oh, here's a good nickname, Florio, for Jordan Love. Deshaun Pfizer.
Ooh,
would be a good one for
nice.
Him. Because, like, that's literally, as far as I can tell,
yes.
the only reason...
Deshaun Kaiser's better than Jordan Love.
Yeah, but Jordan Love is vaccinated. That's the only reason why he was playing today. Jordan Love stunk.
He's so bad. The Packers should have won this game.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are not good. Like, the Chiefs are... I came away from this game thinking the same thing I thought about the Chiefs. They're still broken. Like, mm-hmm. they still just look off. And the Packers had so many chances, and Jordan Love is just so bad. But again, extend him. I think he just needs a little more time,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe give him a fifth year. You got to see. You used a first round pick on him. That's an asset.
You've got it in. Yeah, you've invested enough in him where you should really keep him around for as long as possible.
What were you going to say, Hank? You don't understand what?
I think Patrick Mahomes' involvement with his brother's TikToks is exactly like you guys with our TikTok.
Like, right, but
he's not
kind
like
of
in on it.
No, I
he's
think
just like, dude, I'm doing this TikTok. He's like, all right, whatever. Just get, like, hurry up, please.
But I don't think he actually is, like, angry at his brother.
Are you guys, but are you, yeah, no.
Yeah, right.
Obviously,
he's playing,
it's his
he's
brother.
Kind of playing up the shtick of, like, cause, no, because everyone says online, like, Patrick Mahomes, like, someone
he's
get him out of there.
He's never said that, though.
I know. I'm saying that he's, I think we're saying the same thing.
I think Patrick Mahomes knows his role.
He's just like, I have to, like, it's my brother. I have to do this.
I think he knows his role, though, that he's like the curmudgeon-y brother of the ridiculous
he
TikTok
plays up
guy.
To it.
So he's now you're going to start seeing him in the background of more and more of these TikToks, looking more and more frustrated on purpose as a joke, as a bit.
Disagree.
As a bit.
I think it's a bit.
But those ones where he was like at the table looking sad,
it's a bit.
No, but those are old.
Yeah, it's a bit.
It's a long bit. It's always
a
bit.
It could be long. Billy, you're the king of bits.
It was always a bit.
Good point.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
the Chiefs stink.
Chiefs are not good. They actually should have lost the game for sure if it weren't for... Turns out holding is low-key very difficult to be a professional holder in the NFL.
Yeah.
It certainly looked really tough for... What's that guy's name?
Bajorkic.
He was like deep in his own head with those holds.
Terrible.
Like you could see him. He was overthinking a hold, which is very tough to do. And then Crosby started screaming at him, and that whole thing went to shit. But yeah, the Packers probably should have won this game, 13-7.
Yeah,
who would have thought that the Chiefs would be out here winning games where they scored 13 points?
Do you think they gave Jordan Love's family those bad seats because he sucks so bad, and they were hoping that maybe because he's so far away, they'd be like, oh, from this angle, he might be okay?
You try to hide them up there? I don't know. Possibly. They were definitely in the nosebleeds. It was the very last row of the very highest row in the entire stadium.
What's the remote?
I love them. I love every second of it. If you're going to give a backup quarterback's family seats, that's what I expect them to be. So that tells me that they didn't know that Jordan Love was going to be starting until very recently.
That Aaron Rodgers has lied to everyone and should be in jail.
Yes.
I actually did a poll, and I think it was 60% prison, 40% jail.
So prison is worse.
Prison is worse. People said that they wanted Aaron Rodgers
in prison. I believe
in
second chances, so jail. I would vote jail.
We got to get the remote back on. All right, there we go. Aaron Rodgers should be in prison.
But Packers covered.
They did. They should have covered because it was like they were just in this game the whole time. The Chiefs, it's crazy. The Chiefs, I'm weirdly like, I'm happy that Jordan Love stinks. I'm happy the Packers lost. But I'm even more happy that the Chiefs won so that hopefully they can keep being favorites. We can keep betting against them. They are now 2-7 against the spread.
Yeah, we need to start figuring out what's wrong with the Chiefs in the context of like who slept with whose girlfriend.
Mm.
That's the only story that I haven't heard come out of Kansas City.
Like or someone got Travis someone, Kelce's getting old.
Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill lost a step.
Maybe.
Actually, I think that Patrick Mahomes is just way overthrowing Tyreek Hill a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think it has anything to do with Tyreek. I think that for whatever reason, they're just not on the same page.
He's missing the easy ones. That's what they're saying today. He's missing the easy ones. All right.
How about Blake Bortles, though, apparently gave the Packers defense a great look at what Patrick Mahomes looks like.
Of course he did. He's a fucking teammate. He's a consummate teammate.
Scout team all-star.
All right, let's do football guy of the week.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
All right, football guy of the week, Billy.
First, congratulations to our Week 8 winner, Jack Sanborn, who barely beat his teammate, Colin Wilder. Jack Sanborn was the one who played through having his bone sticking out of his finger that required stitches when he dislocated it. So congratulations to them. So first on our list for Week 9 is Matt LaFleur, head coach of the Green Bay Packers. He was at a press conference and was literally yelling at the journalists to ask him about football because all the Aaron Rodgers stuff, he was literally just yelling, I'm not going to answer anything unless it's about football. Ask me about football. Ask me about football. And it was a huge football guy move because he also said they were yelling all these medical terms at him. And he goes, I don't even know what that word or term is. Ask me about football. So that's our first nominee for this week.
Okay.
Our second is Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell confirmed that the Eagles film was taken outside and buried.
Yep.
With shovels. I don't know how exactly what exactly was buried, but it was buried.
Wait, do you know shovels were involved? Or
shovels were involved. But
are you sure?
Yeah, you could also dig with your hand.
Shovels were involved. What I do not know.
Do you think that he did the shoveling, or do you think he had someone go shovel for him and then he dropped it in there?
Well, exactly what he put in the hole is up for debate.
Game film, though.
Yeah.
Well, how?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we were saying, like, did he put a computer in there? Like, yeah. It's on his phone and he buries
it. And then he's like, shit, I need that.
They delete it?
Someone go get it.
Yeah. Did he put it to the trash?
You know what? He probably just printed out a bunch of, like, all 22 pictures.
That would be like a flip book of it?
Yeah.
A flip book of every play in the game.
Yes.
Our third nominee is Cordarrell Patterson, wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons, on... he said, if my mom could go out there and work three jobs, I could go out there and play three positions. Why can't I do what she did for us? So comparing playing three different positions just to like working three different jobs.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. Huge football guy.
I love that. Yeah.
Lunch pail mentality. And our last nominee comes from Division II football. Head coach of the University of Nebraska, Kearney, Josh Lynn, told his team that if they won 8 games, he would jump into a frozen lake. And he jumped into a frozen lake after they won 8 games.
Sick.
So, down to do it for his guys.
Yep.
Football guy.
Down for the boys. Mm-hmm.
And our throwback football guy of the week comes from the University of Tennessee. Former walk-on kicker Derek Brodus was sitting in a frat house because he wasn't dressing for that game today. He got the call from his coaches to come in, and he told the coaches that he was drinking, and he had to then get his BAC lower because they were going to breathalyze him because he had to play.
He had to stop drinking.
Yeah.
So, when was this?
Coach actually breathalyze him?
This was 9 years ago this weekend.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So, where were you?
9 years ago?
Yeah. 12?
Yeah. So it was kind of a long time ago.
I feel like being buzzed as a kicker might make you better.
But he went 3 for 3 and got the game ball.
You didn't want to put the San Diego State punter on there? Guy's fucking insane.
Punter as a football guy, though?
He might be. Hank said that he thinks the San Diego State punter should be a first-round pick. And I kind of agree with him.
He's an absolute
weapon.
He's a weapon.
He has his average punt this year is 52.2. He punted a 90-yard punt in Honolulu on Saturday night. He's had 2 punts over 80 yards. He has 14 punts over 60 yards. Hawaii had, when he was punting, Hawaii, I've never seen this
from
before.
His own 10-yard line.
From his own 10-yard line, he kicked it in as a touchback. Hawaii had 2 returners. They had a returner 50 yards and a returner 80 yards.
So he's like,
insane.
And he hit it over both of their heads.
He's like the greatest punter I've ever seen in my life.
He's like a wildcat for a punter. He changes the math on defense.
I actually, like, Hank walked in today and was like, did you see that guy? I was like, yeah. Someone should draft him in the first round. And I was like, that's crazy. But then I thought about it. It's like, if he can punt like this all the time, it actually is an incredible game changer.
Yeah.
Matt Araiza.
Yeah.
Matt Araiza having the greatest punting season in college football history.
He's incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, hell, the Raiders should sign him.
90-yard punt.
It's like the guy that takes a QB first in your fantasy draft. Like, yeah. someone does it, and he might seem crazy, but
they if called Stephen Shea crazy when he created zero RB strategy in 2009.
Allegedly, he created it.
Well, he has the stats to back it up in 2011.
Damn, this guy is sick.
He's so good, dude. It's wild watching him punt.
You think that if the Chargers win, would Brandon Staley actually punt?
And they have like the 30-second pick like they always do post-Soupy, I think they should take him. It's the perfect end of first round draft pick.
And it would be like the perfect Belichick where everyone would be like, well, Belichick's changed the game again. Punting. It's crazy.
Wait, he's right footed though. No, wait.
I think you throw that
out the window. Is he ambidextrous? Can he punt
with both legs?
I saw the stat last night. He'd lead all NFL punters with the punting he's been doing in college this year. 29 punts over 50 yards.
No, he's a lefty. So,
beautiful.
Patriots got him.
27 punts. And he plays for a perfect team in San Diego State that like doesn't have a great offense. So he just punts. Punts all the time.
Potential Arizona Bowl team.
Oh, yes. Good call. All right. Let's finish up with who's back of the week. Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy won, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Bill, Hank.
I have two who's backs, if that's all right.
Yes, please.
My first one is Darkness, my old friend.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That was mine, too. Fuck it.
All right, you can take it. I'll pretend I didn't even say that. I have one who's back, if that's all right.
Oh, okay. Only one?
Yeah, just one.
Okay.
Didn't come really prepared?
No, yeah, you know me. Just chilling. And actually, Liam gave me this who's back, so I really didn't come prepared. It is the MLB. They announced their gold glove winners Sunday night at 10 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. It's MLB tonight. Season. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They know how to really capture the headlines and just, you know, capture the nation, get them talking about Gold Glove winners.
Yep. Like, I couldn't
believe
it.
We were in the middle of Sunday Night Football. I was like trying to watch a random NBA game, and I was like, oh.
They draw it out, too. We're going to find out who the MVP is during Monday Night Football.
Yeah, no, it goes, they're announcing each Gold Glove like winner one per hour, I think. So Sunday Night Football started
at 9 p.m.
And they're like, congrats to Max Fried for winning a Golden Glove. It's like, what the fuck?
And like, is there a ceremony?
Do people know that these awards that are about to be announced, or does Rob Manfred just wake up? He's like, yeah, I feel like it's about that time. I should let him know.
It's like politics. Like once it takes a while for the votes to get tabulated, they just like, all right, it's done.
Yeah, it's crazy. Mm-hmm.
The pitchers are done.
It's the dumbest thing ever. MLB, way to go. PFT.
My who's back of the week is plane tracking. So I've been tracking the LSU jet. What?
This is your who's back of the week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, plane track. Do you want me to tell you where the LSU jet is right now, Hank?
Where is it?
All right, so today it went to State College, Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
Who could they be interviewing there? James Franklin, maybe?
Mm.
Bill O'Brien probably still has a house there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it flew from there to Lansing, Lansing, Michigan.
Mel Tucker
possibly getting interviewed by the brass at LSU.
Wow.
The brass is there. So I love plane tracking, but I don't know. I feel like Mel Tucker is probably getting an interview, right? Like we make jokes about who they're potentially interviewing.
Absolutely.
In these different towns. I actually think that they're actually talking to Mel Tucker right now.
Yes.
And he'd be a great hire.
Yeah.
Well, I know we'll talk about it on Wednesday, but quickly, if Coach O wins on Saturday, does he keep his job?
No. That's the whole reason why they
fired him. Beat Alabama.
I know.
It's 28-point
underdogs.
I know,
but that's the whole reason. It's like the Clay Helton thing at USC. He basically kept on, they forgot to fire him, and he kept on winning just enough games. We're like, well, we can't fire him now. So if you fire a guy in the middle of the season and he gets to play out the string, but you've already fired him, you've done the hard work. Where if he wins all the games. You don't have to go back on it.
Interim Ed should just travel the country, filling in on a week-to-week basis for whatever team just fired their head coach.
Yes, yes. All right, my who's back of the week is Darkness. What were you going to say about it?
What do you mean?
What were you going to say about Darkness?
It's back.
It sucks so bad. I don't know why we do it.
Why?
And I feel like there's enough people. Can change.org or someone just be like, hey, let's stop doing this shit? And I also don't like everyone correcting me that it's like technically that daylight savings ended.
I don't care.
Yeah, it's all called daylight savings.
It's daylight savings time. It just hit, and it means that we have to go to work when it's dark out and then go home when it's dark out and not ever see the sun. And it sucks. And if you put it up to a popular vote, I got to feel like 95% of America is anti-darkness.
Well, it's we go to work in the light. We come home in the dark. There's no reason to have it not be dark in the morning. Everyone likes it dark in the morning.
I don't
sleep in a little bit more.
I don't feel the need to have a conversation with anybody in the morning time. Morning time is when I'm just like in my own head figuring out what type of day I'm about to have.
Right.
At that point, I don't need to be energized by sunlight in the morning. It's pathetic.
It to us at night.
Leaving work at 5 o'clock and having it be dark out is something that I think we can all agree on, regardless of our affiliations and our backgrounds. Everybody hates dark in the afternoon, right?
Let's
just stop doing it.
It sucks.
Who makes us do daylight savings?
It's the farmers. The farmers do it.
Those pieces of shit.
Yeah, the farmers are the ones who did it. It's true. The farmers are the ones who did
Why?
It.
There's
because
more
they
sun?
Didn't want, no, because it was, the farmers get up early. And they didn't want to get up and have it be dark all morning. Because it
why
would
you
be
have a rooster.
If they didn't switch it, it would be dark like at like 7:30 in the morning, 8 in the morning.
I don't like it.
No, I agree. It sucks. It sucks. I hate it. Fuck you.
Fuck you,
God.
Dark.
Whoever created this. Just change it. And again, I don't care about the daylight savings technicality. Like people like daylight savings ended. Jake, you seem like a guy who probably knows what this shit means.
Why we do it?
Yeah, and like everything about it, and like
I'm pretty sure
correcting
the state
people.
Of Arizona
like, daylight savings
doesn't do
ended,
it.
Dude. Arizona doesn't do it.
I think
in parts
so.
Of Indiana, mm-hmm. I believe, as well.
Yeah, I don't know. That's weird. But.
Free spirits.
Yeah. I don't understand why farmers need to have us bent over a barrel for them. I'm sick of it.
Agreed. It's very depressing. All right, Jake.
Who's back of the week is college basketball. The season is here. Tomorrow night, Madison Square Garden, the beginning of the end.
You sound a little stuffed up.
What?
You sound a little stuffed up.
You sick?
I'm fine. Some allergies.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm good.
On the eve of college basketball?
Yeah.
That would be a disaster.
Good to go.
Okay.
Yeah, powering through.
What have you gotten Coach K?
So, it's the beginning of the end tomorrow night against Kentucky at the Garden. I'll be there reporting for Bench Mob.
Are you bringing him a present?
No. What present do you think is going to happen?
A single hornet.
There's got to be a presentation.
You should bring him bees.
Yeah.
Yeah, here you go, Coach. Can just throw the bees at him.
Turns out daylight savings time isn't about farmers. It says it's a common myth. Whatever, I'm going to believe that.
It's about candles.
Okay.
A big candle?
Let's finish college basketball, then I want to hear from you and whatever you just found.
Yeah. So big doubleheader.
All right, who do you have winning all? Ooh.
Michigan.
Whoa.
Okay.
The Fab Vibe.
Oh. Okay, all right.
Not mine.
Who's is that chalk? Are they?
No, I'm pretty sure Gonzaga's a favorite.
Fuck Gonzaga. They're never going to win shit.
Whose line? I'll put my Duke future in right this very second.
All right. Whose line is it anyway?
I'm pretty sure Gonzaga's plus 600.
I'm
going to
give everyone
Marshall
a future right now.
Basketball, NCAA.
Gonzaga's plus 650. Michigan's plus 900. I'm going to give you two futures. You ready, people?
Oh, Duke's plus 1400.
I'm going to give you Kentucky 13-1 just solely based on the fact that Cal can't have his team be this bad for like multiple years in a row. This feels like a Cal year, doesn't it?
It could be a Cal year.
Especially because it's right in Duke's face.
Yeah.
And then I'll also give you our guy, Muss. I think Arkansas is going to be really good.
25-1.
Boom. Book them. Yeah. Both of them probably going to win the title.
I like Michigan, too.
Parlay them.
And LSU.
Let's go champions. Rich, they never know. They do for the spelling bee.
Will Wade stole my seats.
Get rich.
I'm going to give you Texas, and I'm going to give you UCLA.
Love it.
McCrone, baby.
Also, I'm
Duke
now,
and LSU. Parlay them all. A 16 parlay.
I'm now a bracketologist. Check out the Barstool Sports website twice a week.
All right.
Bracket number one coming out tonight.
Hell yeah.
Wait, you got a bracket?
Yeah, I got
my
bracket.
Where did Wisconsin go?
Hell yeah.
Did they make it?
No, they're not in.
Are you fucking serious?
Jake.
Dude.
Come on, Jake. What are you thinking?
I like it, Jake. Respect.
They lose all the seniors, Jake. Potter. Jake.
Jake, put Wisconsin in the bracket. Jake.
See, you got to turn the robot off for a second.
Dude,
and
no,
just
no,
think.
No. I like
this. Wisconsin in the fucking bracket.
I like this, Jake.
Think
Jake,
with your head.
Jake,
first.
No, Jake. Not with you your won't get a retweet. You won't get a retweet.
You have to stay. You will not get a retweet. Loyal to your algorithm.
No, no.
Yeah, no. You don't. You.
Brad Davison's back.
This cannot.
Jonathan Davis is really good.
He's on year like 12.
Brad Davison? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. When is that a bad thing?
No, I'm just saying.
You cannot compromise the integrity of your bracket, Jake. I want you to call it as you see
How
it.
How far away are they from being in?
They're not a Lenardi's either. They're next four out.
I don't give a fuck about Lenardi. You're your own guy.
Yeah. You gotta be different than Lenardi. I'm not an island.
Next you gotta four be different out than is Lenardi. So close. It's so close.
Yeah.
Just put
you
them in.
You
can't make one exception for me?
Okay,
for
I'll put them
pal?
In, but like, that's not
Jake,
journal,
no,
that's
don't
not
do
integrity.
It. Jake, don't let him bully you. Don't let
I'm
him bully you, Jake.
I'm going to smear this in your face when Wisconsin makes the tournament this year.
I never said they didn't.
Oh.
This is November 9th.
You literally did.
Yeah, this
no,
is November 8th.
Saying right
no,
now.
The prediction season, is they no, will no, not yeah, make the right. tournament.
If the season ended today.
This they wouldn't make would not the tournament if the season ended today?
This is not a prediction.
Everyone's 0-0?
It's
zero?
Not a prediction. This is...
PK, you're fundamentally misunderstanding
right now, yes.
bracketology.
No, I'm not. Put them
yes.
in. Fucking put them in.
Jake, stand strong.
They start off with St. Francis, New York, and then
and
Green Bay.
And if they
Bay,
win that game, are they in?
And then Green Bay. And then they've got recurring guest coach Cooley next Monday.
If they win that
3-0,
game, are they in?
They are in.
What if they start 2-0?
No. St. Francis and Green Bay.
What if
yeah,
they win
no,
by
yeah,
50?
Their strength of schedule
Green
sucks.
Green Bay's pretty good.
They're 3-0-7 in KenPom.
Oh.
Yikes.
Oh. How dare you? God damn it.
Listen.
We're Syracuse.
They have opportunities. They're a 9 seed.
Oh, of course they are. Of course they are. All right, Billy, what did you learn about candles and Hoosier Who's Back?
So it turns out Ben Franklin was first to talk about how if they converted waking hours to daylight hours to conserve candles in 1784. And then, like, there was a bunch of energy crises and everyone just
but
got on board with it.
It's the same amount of time, isn't it? Well, didn't we just shift it?
Yeah, so there's more waking hours.
That fat fraud Ben Franklin, he's behind this?
Well, that's like when they literally couldn't conduct business at nighttime because it was dark.
Exactly.
Yeah, this just meant that Ben Franklin wanted more daylight hours to find and fuck French whores.
God damn it. He didn't actually implement it, but it was his idea.
Well, whoever's idea it was is a fucking moron.
Yeah.
All right.
My Who's Back of the Week is the 9-7 debate. Carson Wentz, when he threw the interception last week in the end zone.
Actually, a debate.
I know. But okay. The thing is, it came back tonight for like a brief moment after Matt Stafford threw the pick. It was like, well, it's actually better than a safety because then it was like, well, 9-7 debate. It's 9-14 debate.
Because I don't think that anybody actually right had that debate with Matt Stafford
no, I
tonight,
it
though.
As a
I
joke.
Think it was just Billy thinking to himself, like, wait, should he have? Was it actually
no, because
good it, that he threw that pick?
It actually,
everyone's like the
it's
two points.
Crazy.
The 2 points isn't as bad as the turnover, and then they get the ball back, and then it's like
you can score 9.
Yeah, but you could also score 14 if you throw another pick when mm-hmm. you get the ball back,
which he did.
Yeah, so it just killed that debate.
Debate over.
Debate.
So
over.
Wait, just give me the bullet points here. What did you take away from that? Is it good or is it bad to throw a pick 6?
It's bad.
Okay, noted.
Just don't get sacked in the end zone.
All right, here we go. Numbers.
8.
90.
11.
97.
18.
I can't believe you.
The whole season's out of
I can't believe you.
So a lot of people...
How dare you?
People think that Odell doesn't work well with the Browns because he freelances on routes too much and doesn't work within the system.
Got it.
So that's why... He's not working.
Where is Wisconsin ranked right now in the – like, what are they ranked? They're not ranked in the top 25, but where do you have them ranked?
I still need to do the bubble, but they'll be
– Like, give me a number.
I'll say first four out.
No, give me a number then. So they're the 70th?
Well, that's not how it works.
Conference
like
champions.
Auto bids and
right,
all that.
Right, but just give me a number. If I get this number, they got to be number one seed on your first – Seriously.
My credibility's going to
no,
be gone.
I don't care. If the number's exactly correct, give me a number. What are they ranked?
49.
Okay, 49 comes up. You have to put them as a one seed on Tuesday. Fair?
Monday.
Monday. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
66.
Damn it.
Jake, trust
damn
me.
It.
A group Jake, of... promise me that you won't get bullied in this. I want this to
it's
be...
It's not bullying. It's a just science. Being no, respectful Jake, of your elders.
Jake is being respectful of the numbers no, and the formulas.
A group of hippos is called a bloat.
Pussy.
Love you guys.
Talking away. Well, I don't know what I'm to say on stage anyway. Today's another day to find you shying away. Well, I'll be coming for your love, okay? Take on me. Take me on. I'll be gone. Let you watch me. Shine away. I'll be coming for you anyway.